retaliation is in the view. That's where the argument to this day of reparations stopped. We never got the 40 acres. We went all the way to Herbert Hoover, and we never got the 40 acres. We didn't get the mule, so we decided we'd ride this donkey as far as it would take us.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Okay.
And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
Things going on, that's for sure.
Transplanted New Yorker trying to keep her sense of humor as she and her family prepare for the fourth hurricane in 6 weeks. Jean is less than a day away. ABC's Andrew Colton is in Palm Beach Gardens.
Even as the rain starts, there's still a mad dash to get hurricane shutters up. Those shutters that have been put up and taken down 3 times now. This man's putting up shutters at a bank here, but he seems to be the only one in this strip mall getting ready.
I'm amazed that most people don't put things up, but I think you need to protect it.
Jean's expected to hit here with winds of at least 130 miles per hour. Andrew Colton, ABC News, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Jean is a Category 3 storm. The first presidential debate is set for Thursday in Miami. Maybe.
A senior Republican official tells ABC News that the debate may not happen because of an unresolved legal issue. The Bush and Kerry campaigns have agreed on pretty much all matters of format, facilities, and topics, but the Commission on Presidential Debates doesn't want to sign the agreement, fearing that language insisted on by the GOP could jeopardize the sponsoring organization's nonprofit status. Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush on the radio today talking up successes in Iraq.
Today in most of Iraq, children are about to go back to school, parents are going back to work, and new businesses are being opened. Electricity has been restored above pre-war levels. Telephone service has increased dramatically.
But the Democrats don't necessarily agree.
This war has been a grotesque mistake that has diminished our reputation in the world and has not made America safer.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi giving the Democrats' address. There's a memorial service that's being held this afternoon in Marietta, Georgia, for Jack Hensley. He was one of the Americans who was kidnapped last week in Iraq and executed this week. This is ABC News.
Step up and get your Goodyears. Get to Goodyear's American Dream Tire Sale now through October 9th and save on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, buy 4 selected Goodyear tires and get a $50 U.S. savings bond. For everyday low prices and a $50 U.S. savings bond, call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details. Come get your Goodyears today and be sure to check out Goodyear's new assurance brand of passenger tires. Mail-in savings bond offer ends October 9th.
Oh, this heartburn.
That's more than heartburn.
What?
That pressure and bloating is gas.
Oh, I heard you. It's just that you're a talking bottle.
I'm Maalox Max. Fast heartburn relief plus strong gas relief.
Ah, what a relief.
Maalox Max. When you have it all, treat it all.
For fast relief of heartburn and the pressure and bloating from gas, count on Maalox Max. Use as directed. Look for Maalox in the new great-tasting Maalox Total Stomach Relief in Walgreens Stomach Remedies section. Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
Guy James, proud American patriot and host of America's number one Democratic talk show, brings his bold brand of liberal talk radio to Southwest Florida. Now, here's Guy James.
I invite you to join me every Saturday for a look at the way it really is. You've already heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James, every Saturday, 3 to 6, right here on Power Talk 1200. It's the Guy James Show.
Lawyer. Doctor. Teacher. Pilot.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Architect. Actor. Politician. Writer.
What does your child want to be?
Musician. Scientist. Chef.
Well, if you struggle with reading, both of you have little chance of becoming any of those things. But nothing's worse than giving up on your dreams. That's why with family learning programs, parents and kids learn together, so they succeed together. on things like computer and interview skills, GED preparation, and English as a second language, plus preschool education for kids. The results are amazing, but what's truly amazing is that the only thing it will cost you is your time. Family Learning Programs, the first step to a better life. Turn your life around today by calling toll-free 1-877-FAMLIT1 and be what you've always wanted to be.
Happy!
Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. Stand on a corner in L.A. and feel the hot wind of the Sahara brush across your face. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together, making it so simple for you to make a difference. Because we are many, and we are one. Please visit us at earthshare.org to learn more. EarthShare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from EarthShare and the Ad Council.
From Joey Reynolds to Matt Drudge, Power Talk 1200 is your weekend choice for Power Talk.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Yes, indeed, Guy James here with you, ready and raring to go to have a good show today, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. I should say the churning waters. Here we go again, folks. Here we go again. Hurricane Gene, Genie, or whatever they're calling her, is just waiting off the east coast of Florida, waiting to come and see us again. I tell you, it is absolutely amazing. And, of course, here we are. We're on the west coast of Florida, the southwest coast, and we've got all these people coming over from the east coast bailing out. And, of course, the hotels are full here once again. We're supposed to get some maybe tropical storm-like winds tomorrow. And it's just a shame because it has affected so many people, and you wouldn't think, you really wouldn't think people would be affected the way they are. But businesses, except for Home Depot and Lowe's and Publix and Winn-Dixie, Publix and Winn-Dixie are grocery stores here in Florida for all you folks on the internet. They're doing okay, although they've had their losses too when the power went out. But so many small businesses here are suffering because, people have just been in an uproar. And, there is no business for many of small businesses, especially when they have these warnings out for so long. And, people are missing paychecks and businesses aren't having any business. It's a tough deal. So I know a lot of you around the country are tired of hearing about it, and I think we are here as well. But it is worth noting that is a tremendous financial burden on most of the folks who live here, getting homes fixed and homes that were damaged have these large deductibles, and it's just a mess. So, and I suppose we're going to have another gasoline shortage over here today. When all the people come from the East Coast, we run out of gasoline, and. I was going to let you know what the schedule for the show is today. I'm being told on the monitor right now that we are not going to have Chairman McAuliffe. He's somewhere in West Virginia, and as I understand it, having cell phone trouble wherever he's at. So rather than that, there's going to be somebody else from the Kerry campaign calling in around 3:15. I don't know who for sure. I'm finding this out just now on my monitor right in front of me here. So we were going to have Chairman McAuliffe on. Perhaps we can get him on next week. We're going to have, during this hour, Mark Crispin Miller, an author I know many of you are very familiar with, author of the new book, Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order. And, of course, he also wrote the bestseller, Bush Dyslexicon. See, there I go. I can't say it either. Bush Dyslexicon. And he's going to have that. We're going to have him on around 3:30 or so. A little later in the program, we're going to have a lady that I'm sure maybe some of you won't know or recognize her name, but her name is Lynn Renee Goble. And she's from Moulton, Alabama, and this is the lady who was fired from her job for having a Kerry sticker on her car. She worked for really nice gentleman named Philip Geddes, who owns a little company called EnvironMate, and he fired her for having a Kerry sticker on her car. So we'll have her on a little later. And, of course, there's a happy ending to that story. The Kerry campaign. In fact, John Kerry himself called her and gave her a job, so that's in the campaign, so that's a good thing. We're going to have Chad Clampton on, who is a senior advisor in the Kerry campaign, going to let us know exactly what's going on in the Kerry campaign. So much happened this week. I don't know, what is he, Prime Minister Alawi, or whatever they call him, President Alawi from Iraq visiting and speaking in front of the Congress. Looked like a Bush puppet, repeating the Bush phrases and everything just like he's supposed to. And, it's amazing to me. He gets up and he talks about freedom. He uses the same phrases that Bush uses. And I would think it'd be embarrassing. You know, and every time, I don't know about you, but this is something particularly sticks in my craw, as if people in my family would say. Every time I hear Bush talking about how the Iraqi and Afghani people are free, I really have to laugh. I mean, he has a strange idea of what freedom is. Both countries have leaders who are CIA puppets. I mean, there's no question about that. And here we got Alawi, is one of them that helped feed us all this false information that we went to war on. And he's still, there he is. Iraq's unelected Alawi shut down the Iraqi press. That's a good thing for freedom, huh? And they've got no legislature for him to answer to. Another good freedom, mark of freedom. And, you know, he is then, since he hasn't been elected, he's a dictator, ruling the country with all the authority Saddam Hussein possessed. He really is. Think about it. He hadn't been elected. And he's even shown some of Hussein's bloodthirsty style by shooting 7 suspected insurgents in the back of the head while their hands were tied behind their backs in the Baghdad police station. Why didn't they tell you that on the news the other day, huh? You know, these guys, who knows? They might have been terrorists. They might have been insurgents. But they had no trial. And that's how it goes when a dictator's in charge. There's no due process, no civil liberties, no habeas corpus, no right to counsel. Freedom for the Iraqi people. You know, they must feel so wonderfully free having an American puppet as their appointed leader. How many of you saw him interviewing Iraqi people over in Baghdad while he made that speech? The Iraqi people were wondering what country was Alawi even talking about. They sure didn't recognize anything he had to say. Bush has this great appreciation for freedom. He has a great desire to free all the peoples of the world, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Huh? Let me ask you, didn't he recently meet with General Musharraf of Pakistan? Think about this. Now, as I understand it, Musharraf is a good friend and ally of Bush, right? And Bush recently had meetings with General Musharraf in Washington. I mean, if he's going to meet with the President of the United States, Musharraf must be a good guy. Certainly, the President of the United States wouldn't meet with a bad guy, would he? But he must be one of the good guys, for if he isn't one of the good guys, then Bush wouldn't be all cozy with him, now would he? Think about it. Musharraf recently called off the elections in Pakistan after promising these people they would take place. That means that General Musharraf is an unelected leader of his country. You know what else that means? He's a dictator, and his people are not free. So here we have Bush, like his father, who seems to have a difficult time understanding exactly what freedom means. I don't think he knows. I mean, Daddy Bush was all cozy with Saddam Hussein, so George Sr. must have thought Saddam ruled over free people, right? Now, I mean, certainly these people wouldn't knowingly consort with evil dictators, would they? I wouldn't think so. You know, I wonder if Junior Bush lectured Generalissimo Musharraf about freeing the people of Pakistan the other day. What are the odds of that, do you suppose? Not very good, I think. But, you know, just it just fascinates me that these people talk that way. I'm never cease to be amazed that he'll be talking to a dictator as his father did and treat him as if he was some wonderful person. And I personally have a problem with that. I think a dictator is a dictator, whether it be Saddam Hussein, Musharraf, or whoever. But I don't think our government should ever be friendly with him. But that's just me. Hey, right now, well, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Chad Clampton, who's a senior advisor to the John Kerry campaign. And we're happy to have him along to kind of update us on what's going on in the Kerry campaign. Chad, are you with us? Let me just push this little button right here. Do we have Chad with us? I hope. We're trying here. Don't know what's happening exactly. Biz is over there in the room trying to find out what exactly is wrong. Okay, we'll wait just a second or two and see what exactly is happening here. We're having problems here today. The big old generator running the station is running everything. We've had electrical problems. Don't know if it's anything to do with the storm or what. We're having pretty good winds right now. And let's see if Chad... Is Chad with us now? Biz is feverishly working, trying to see if this works. Hello, Chad? Well, I apologize for this. We'll have Chad call us right back. Call us right back, Chad, if you can hear us on that. I'm very, very sorry. I meant to tell everybody that sooner, that we're having severe electrical problems around here. I hope that won't hurt the rest of our callers the rest of the day, and I hope it won't bother the rest of our interviews the rest of the day. Such is the nature of the business here in this bad, bad weather. So, anyway, you're invited to call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Locally, 479-5540. And 263-6570 if you're in Collier County. So give us a call, and we'll be happy to hear from you. Let's try this other line here. I'm going to try this other line. Is Chad with us? No. Okay. Well, Biz, talk to me, Biz. What's happening? Okay, well, let's try this again. Chad, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, finally got our little bugs worked out here. We're having electrical problems here today. Don't know whether it's due to the windy conditions or what, but Chad's a senior advisor to the Kerry campaign. Chad, we're happy to have you with us today. I didn't get a chance to talk to you. We were going to have Terry McAuliffe on a little earlier, but he's having cell phone trouble today where he's at. So,
well, hope y'all are doing well. They're watching the weather here from the war room on CNN, and hope y'all are safe down
well,
there.
Well, we've got a big compound here that we're in, and we're safe, and I don't think we're going to get the brunt of it, but we're kind of sick of this.
Well, I understand. Hope it passes soon.
Yeah, what's happening with the Kerry campaign today?
Well, John Kerry had a really strong week. He talked about two things. The first thing was the need for the president to face reality in Iraq and really stop covering up, frankly, the deteriorating situation there. That if we don't come clean, not only with the American people, but also our troops and our military commanders, then it's going to be hard to take the necessary steps to bring stability in Iraq. There's a couple facts that John Kerry's been stressing this week that the president refuses to recognize. The first is that attacks on American soldiers are on the rise. Number two, we've lost 1,000 soldiers, and it's increasingly violent there. And number three, as Prime Minister Alawi has admitted, terrorists are pouring in by the thousands across the Iraqi border. You know, when President Bush talks about Iraq as, quote, the new front in the war on terror, what he doesn't mention is that there were no terrorists in Iraq before he chose to go in alone. And that's why John Kerry has said that the president's decision to go into Iraq alone was his most catastrophic decision as president. It has hurt us not only here at home, but internationally, as it's damaged our credibility and frayed our relationship with allies. And now, as a result, the United States is on the hook for over $200 billion with no end in sight. And, you know, these are the costs of George Bush's wrong decisions in Iraq. And John Kerry laid out his plan for what we need to do to get us back on track in Iraq. And the second thing he did was he talked about the war on terror and how that the president's wrong choices in Iraq have made it harder to wage the war on terror. The president really took his eye off the ball when he let go of pursuing Osama bin Laden and got distracted by going into Iraq. And as a result, it's made it harder and harder to do what we need to do to capture the real enemy. And, of course, that's al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden.
Well, I see even General Musharraf is saying that that the invasion has ended up bringing more trouble to the world, and he's very unenthusiastic about what's going on over there. He thinks it's a bad situation.
Yeah, I saw him make those comments last night. And, you know, we've also seen a lot of prominent Republicans who are experts in international security, people like John McCain, Chuck Hagel, who's a very conservative Republican from Nebraska, Dick Lugar, who's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. All of them have said basically the same thing, which is, Mr. President, you need to be more honest about the situation over there, because until we face reality, we can't really know exactly what we need to do to get the job done. You know, the president is really living in a fantasy land, and it's really frustrating. We get a lot of emails and phone calls from military families across the country, and they get letters, they get phone calls from their sons and daughters that are over in Iraq and Baghdad or even Fallujah, where the situation is really deteriorating and the violence is on the rise. And they tell a very different story about the ground reality in Iraq. You know, about a week ago, the New York Times on the front page reported that the president had basically ignored a CIA assessment of the situation in Iraq. It painted a very bleak picture of the situation in Iraq. Yet the president continues to go out on the campaign trail with these pep rally-like speeches. He says things like, quote, we're making progress, like, you know, we need to stay the course. I think there's a lot of people that pray to God he doesn't mean that when he says stay the course, because they see their nightly newscast, they read their local papers, and they see the car bombings that are happening almost every day, they see the kidnappings that are on the rise there, and they see the terrorist groups that are coming and setting up shop in Iraq. And, you know, the sad but true reality here is that Iraq is the new Afghanistan, and it shouldn't have been this way. The president, every step of the way, has made wrong choices in the way he prosecuted this war in Iraq. And as a result, the United States is bearing 90% of the cost, 90% of the casualties, and 90% of the reconstruction burdens.
Well, you know, Chad, I agree. You still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I completely agree that Bush has not owned up to the reality on this. He reminds me of an alcoholic or drug addict. Maybe that's not a good comparison here in this particular case, but he reminds me of an alcoholic. The first thing you got to do is admit you have a problem before you can recover. And he steadfastly will not admit that anything's wrong. In fact, he talked about that national intelligence estimate. He said, oh, they were just guessing.
Right. He said they were just guessing. Well, these are his top intelligence officers. I think it's an issue of stubbornness. The president stubbornly refuses to admit that his policies don't work. You know, recently the president was asked, given, Mr. President, that there are no weapons of mass destruction, given that we're bearing 90% of the cost and casualties, given that now we have Iraq, the new haven for terrorism in the world, what would you do differently? He said not a single thing.
This is
a man who can't admit that he's ever made a mistake besides trading Sammy Sosa. You know? And, you know, that's kind of funny, but the situation in Iraq is not funny at all. It's serious. And it's wrong for him to consistently mislead people. It's wrong for him to go out and make these pep rally speeches. I know he was a cheerleader at Yale, but we don't need any more pep rallies, okay?
Exactly.
This is a sobering reality that our troops are facing. And until we really get serious and face reality, we're not going to be able to solve these problems. And I think the conclusion that the American people are going to come to by November is the only way we can turn around the situation in Iraq is by electing a new president with new credibility and a new approach, because George Bush just can't do it. He has thumbed his nose at our allies. He's lost our respect in the world, and we're out there alone. And the fact is, many of our key allies do have a stake in the success in Iraq, but because of the way this president has arrogantly pursued this go-it-alone foreign policy, I think it's going to be next to impossible for him to get them on board.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, one thing that people bring up all the time when I have people from the other side write me email and call me and so forth, well, what is Kerry going to do that's any different? Well, I'll tell you one thing he can do. He can get rid of Rumsfeld, and he can get rid of that crew that's been running that war in the Pentagon so far.
Yeah, you know, I completely reject the premise of their argument. They say just because George Bush can't do it, it can't be done. I think it's just the opposite. You know, John Kerry can do it. George Bush can't. He's had 4 years, and he's put our country in a world of hurt. The middle class is being squeezed like never before. Don't forget the consequences of George Bush's decision to go it alone in Iraq are hurting us right here at home. The middle class is being squeezed like a lemon at a county fair, okay? We have health insurance costs that have gone up 64%. That's over $3,000 a year for a middle class family. We have 5 million people who've lost their health insurance under this president. We've lost almost 2 million jobs. These are real people. These aren't just numbers. These are real lives and real families. We have single mothers that are having trouble buying their children blue jeans and t-shirts to go back to school and still pay for the health insurance bills every month. So it's wrong. His policies haven't worked. We need to take this country in a new direction. And that's exactly what John Kerry wants to do.
Well, you know, we've got, I'm not counting the days, 38, 39 days left until the election. And we're very much looking forward to it here in Florida. I think we can carry Florida.
Yes, sir, I do too.
I really do. We are in constant contact with a lot of the Democratic clubs around the state of Florida, and I know there's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for the Kerry campaign here. Locally, Chad, you wouldn't believe the local Democrats clubs here. I mean, we're in the, as we always say, the heart of darkness here with, you know, Republican territory, but the Democratic clubs have exploded with members. I mean,
I've heard there's a lot of enthusiasm down there. Democrats there in your neck of the woods and across the country, I think, are more motivated than ever. They've seen George Bush put our country, like I say, in a world of hurt, and they're ready for something new and something different, frankly, a fresh start. And the only way we're going to get that is if we band together and work really hard, knock on every door, call every friend. I mean, just today, if we could all commit to just talk to 10 friends, it's not too early, okay? The election is just about 6 weeks away. Why don't we find 10 friends and get those 10 friends to vote for John Kerry in November? It's not too early to start, and this is exactly what it's going to take, the kind of grassroots stuff that you're talking about. And we got to get the word out. We got to get the truth out and tell people that George Bush just hasn't done the job. He's had wrong choice after wrong choice. He had a choice between the insurance companies and the middle class. He chose the insurance companies. Now our insurance premiums are $3,000 on average higher per family. You know, he had a choice between creating jobs here at home or giving tax incentives to American companies who ship jobs overseas. As a result, we're outsourcing American jobs like never before. And George Bush still says that, quote, this is a good thing. You know, he had a choice between making the investments we need, doing what we need to do to hunt down and find Osama bin Laden and stop these terrorists and crush them. Instead, he got bogged down in Iraq by choosing to go it alone without the support of our allies. So we're going to have some big choices, and I think that's what we have to tell people. You know, you got a simple choice. If you like the way things are going under George Bush, if you like the idea of losing 2 million jobs, of outsourcing jobs like never before, if you like the mess in Iraq, if you want more skyrocketing deficits and sky-high health care costs, vote for George W. Bush. But if you want a new direction, if you want to get control of the situation, situation in Iraq, cut the cost of health care, make the investors need an education, you ought to vote for John Kerry. You know, it's a simple choice, and I think that's what we're going to be talking about this week when we head to Florida for the debate on Thursday.
Looking forward to that. And, you know, I just think it's a little bit too late, just a little bit too late for George Bush to be telling us what he's going to do in the next 4 years. He has shown no evidence of doing any of those things so far. What makes anybody think he'd go through with him in a second term?
I agree. You know, there's an old country music song, I think it says, I think it's by Tanya Tucker. It's just a little too late to do the right thing now. And I'm a Christian, and I believe in forgiveness and, you know, turning a new page here. But the man has had 4 years to do the right thing. Instead, he's made wrong choice after wrong choice. Health care, jobs, Iraq, even losing our focus in the key battle of hunting down Al-Qaeda because of the way he went into Iraq. And I just think it's time for a fresh start. I think that's where the American people are. And you're seeing that in the polls. George Bush got a bounce out of his convention. Now that bounce is gone. And almost every poll has the race tied and in a dead heat and moving our way. And the interesting thing in all these public polls is people are rapidly losing their confidence in the president's handling in the war in Iraq. And they link that to our losing our momentum in fighting Al-Qaeda. They understand what's going on here. George Bush's wrong choices in Iraq have made us lose our focus on the real enemy, Al-Qaeda, and we're all paying the price for it as a result.
Chad, thanks so much for being with us. I firmly believe you are a member of a winning campaign. We're going to take this thing home on November the 2nd. Chad Clampton, senior advisor to John Kerry, thank you so much for being with us today.
I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
Well, there you heard it from the campaign. Well, we're going to pause for a break right now, and then right after that, we're going to have Mark Crispin Miller on, author of the book Cruel and Unusual. You will enjoy hearing him, I promise you. You're listening to The Guy James Show. We'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show.
It's time for This Billionaire Moment.
Protesters are demanding we bring our troops home from Iraq immediately, but we can't do that. You see, the Iraqis are very hospitable, and the new leader we selected for them has asked our troops to stay. If we brought them home now, we would risk insulting our hosts. And then who would be there to keep an eye on things while we extract our oil from below their soil? And there have been complaints about American mercenaries torturing Iraqi prisoners, but who are you going to trust to soften them up so they can lead us to all those missing weapons of mass destruction? The government? Or a private security firm that can do the dirty work more efficiently for less money with less accountability? Privatization. It works. I'm Zena Fobe for This Billionaire Moment.
This Billionaire Moment is brought to you by BillionairesForBush.com.
Here come the billionaires!
This is a wrench. This is a wrench and a can of beans. This is a wrench, some canned goods, and a flashlight. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, and a gallon of water. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, a gallon of water, batteries, blankets, duct tape, can opener, first aid kit, radio, 3-day supply of medications, playing cards, a local map, and some extra cash. When we bring all these things together, we have a disaster supplies kit, also known as peace of mind for you and your family. With a list from your local Red Cross, you can assemble all the supplies you need to prepare your home and family for an emergency or disaster. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To assemble your own kit, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
I deserve a reward. After all, I found our dream house.
Have a pickle.
Thanks.
But I found out how much the house was going to cost, Pastor John.
But I found us the perfect mortgage.
But then I found out the house had radon.
Ugh.
The radioactive gas that's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
Yeah, well,
I need two pickles.
I found the phone number to call, 1-800-SOS-RADON, where you can get all the information you need to test your home and fix a radon problem. I got some ice cream with this pickle.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Protect your family from radon. Call 1-800-SOS-RADON. 1-800-SOS-RADON.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information.
Plus today's most powerful talk program.
Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour. Plus, the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News
and CNBC Business Report.
Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Back with you here on the Guy James Show. And right before I have great author Mark Crispin Miller on, I want to read you a paragraph from his book. For those of you that have not read any of Mark's writings, listen carefully. And I quote, "American democracy is threatened by no mere cabal of scheming oil men or titanic business cronies slyly playing on the people's fears. There is such a cabal, of course. But this one is compelled by fear as well as greed, is generally persuaded by the lies it tells the rest of us, and will not stop pursuing its own demons until everybody else is dead. Until the people rise to reckon with it, the apocalyptic movement now in power will trample us and all the world, flattening the earth in even larger circles like a mad elephant in hot pursuit of its own tail." That gives you some idea of what's in this book. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Mark Crispin Miller. Mark, are you with us? Do we have Mark with us? Boy, we are having trouble today. I apologize. Do we have Mark with us? We're trying once again here. Well, I warned everybody we were having technical problems today on account of the generators running the entire building today, and I hope we didn't lose him on the phone here. I apologize for this. It sounds very amateurish, I know. Nothing else can do about it, I guess. Oh, Biz is over there trying to... Okay, well, let's call him back and get him on here. Sorry about that, folks. I do apologize. Don't know what for sure is happening here. It sounds like high school radio here today, but it is the weather problems, I'm sure. How many of you heard this feeble-minded George Bush's words of wisdom this week? He got on Kerry's case for saying things not complimentary to Iraq in front of Alawi, and Bush was all over that. And right after that, Bush says, right in front of Alawi, "We don't want to fight the terrorists here in our own land. We want to fight them in Iraq." Did you see Alawi? Did you see Alawi's double take on that? No, we don't want to fight them at home. We're going to fight them in this guy's country right here. We'll just keep that country in an uproar and. That's what we'll do. So I got a real charge out of that Bush telling Kerry what was wrong with the way he talked about that, and there he says he insults the man right in front of everybody. It was absolutely hilarious, I thought. And how many of you saw? Yeah, I can't find my notes today. We're having a bad day here so far. I hope over in the control room they can get the Mark Miller back on the phone. I do apologize for that to everybody. Do want to tell everybody about something here real quickly. Here locally, all of our listeners locally, the Democratic headquarters of Cape Coral is having their grand opening Saturday. That's today from noon on. I didn't say noon until how long. At 824 Southeast 47th Street. So stop on over there. And see, it's the first time Cape Coral has ever had a Democratic. Well, now I'm told we're getting Mark Miller's voicemail. I think we're going to pause for another break right now until we can get things in order here. I don't know what's happening. We're kind of at the weather, at the mercy of the weather here, and I hope you'll bear with us on all this. We'll be right back after these words. Well, I guess we're not even ready for that yet. I really don't know what's going on. I do apologize for this. And we're going to go to a break right now. Okay, we'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Today, I'm truly proud to announce that Calvin Smith is our new president of Consumer Affairs.
Come on up, Cal.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Thank you. When I came to this company, I knew there was going to be a lot of hard work ahead, and there was, because it's a highly volatile market we're dealing with.
God, this is so great for Calvin, isn't it?
Well, he's done quite a job. You know, got a standing ovation at corporate last week. I was there.
Mm-hmm. He's very articulate.
Anybody
for a black guy. Know what I mean?
No, Bill. I really don't know what you mean.
The first step in fighting racial prejudice is taking a stand. Imagine the power of one voice. Find yours at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Okay, we're back with you. I think we have our technical problems straightened out. I don't know when. I hope so. This weather thing isn't helping any, and I guess I've made enough excuses. But anyway, I think we do have Mark Miller on the phone right now, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Hey, there he is.
Sorry about that.
Glad to have you with us this afternoon, Mark. I started off this big introduction by reading the paragraph out of your book about the American democracy is threatened by no mere cabal of scheming oil men or titanic business cronies. And that's a pretty profound statement, and I think it gives somebody a good idea, an insight into your book, just how much meat there is in this book. Very, very impressed with it. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it, and I must say it is a wonderful read. Cruel and Unusual, what caused you to hang that title on it? I think I know, but why don't you tell us?
Yeah, well, you know, the Constitution forbids cruel and unusual punishment, so I chose that phrase as a title for this book because my argument is that Bush-Cheney is not only not a conservative organization. I mean, there's nothing conservative about this regime. But I argue that it's not even really in the bounds of what's recognizably American. I think that what they're trying to bring about here is nothing less than a radical change in the nature of the whole society. They want to transform this great constitutional republic into a theocracy. It isn't just a matter of trying to, you know, make as much money as possible for their corporate cronies. There's a great deal of corporate cronyism. It's not just a matter of trying to corner the world's oil supply. I mean, that's obviously something they do want to do. But those are, you know, those are wild ambitions, but they are at least rational ambitions. You know, profits, oil, I mean, we need these resources. You can make an argument, a rational argument, for an attempt to, you know, make as much money and so on as possible.
I don't believe that this is a rational movement, finally. I was just listening to your last guest before we got separated, and, you know, I agree with every word he said. The only problem is, I think, that this is going to sound odd. I think he was understating the case.
Oh, yeah.
Because this isn't, you know, this isn't... George W. Bush and Dick Cheney never really would have considered doing any of the right-minded things that he suggested they ought to have done. They have never had respect for democracy. They have never really had any trust in or faith in the Constitution. They don't trust the American electorate. They stole the race last time, as I don't have to tell you, certainly. And they would have stolen it if Ralph Nader had never been born. I think Ralph made it easier, but I think they were absolutely intent on doing this, and they're absolutely intent on doing it again. My heart and soul are with you all down in Florida now, because that's the eye of the storm.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you have the burden of the whole big mess on your shoulders. We have to be ready, I think, as the citizens of a democracy, if we really cherish our rights and so on, we have to be ready to not only to fight Bush in this particular election and try as hard as we can to give the biggest possible victory to John Kerry, but we have to be prepared for a very, very protracted struggle. You know what Jefferson said, this is kind of the point of my book, Cruel and Unusual. Jefferson said that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Now, that's still true.
It still is, exactly.
When he said it, he didn't mean the price of freedom is vigilance for maybe the next 60 years or so. He meant it's eternal vigilance, because power, by its very nature, will always try to take over completely. That's the brilliance of our system. That's the great thing of American government. The American design is that the framers understood this tendency of power, and they took every possible step they could to prevent too much power from collecting in any one set of hands, whether it's the hands of the Senate or the hands of the President or the hands of the majority. They divided the government up into three branches. They meant for us to have a free and independent press that would keep an eye on the government for the sake of the people. Well, we don't have any of that right now. We have, I think, a majority of Americans who can see that things have gone drastically wrong, and we have a government, every branch of which has been taken over by an extremely fanatical and irrational movement, a movement that has no problem with apocalypse, you know, a movement that really does believe that God is on its side, and they believe that just as fiercely as Osama bin Laden thinks that God is on his side.
Well, Mark, how are they able to convince the electorate that they're right? I mean, here we are worried about winning this election. We shouldn't have to worry about it, but we do.
No, you're absolutely
and,
right.
And how is it that this movement of theirs is so compelling that they're able to get 50 million people or so out to vote for them? I don't understand that.
Well, here's the deal. You know, I think that in any society, any given population, you'll have roughly a third, who are sort of off the deep end. Yeah, Richard Nixon actually said this in his old age: a third of the voters are crazy. And you know, he ought to know, right?
Yeah.
A third of the Germans voted for Hitler. There's a third that they're kind of like a primitive part of the brain, you know. But the others, the swing voters, you know, people who did vote for Bush four years ago and would never do it again, you know, people like Scott Ritter, people like Kristen Breitweiser, people like Paul O'Neill and Richard Clark, these are people who were successfully conned into thinking that Bush was a moderate or even a conservative. None of them thought that he was completely incapable of changing with circumstances, of assessing outside evidence, of admitting a mistake, of consulting other points of view. We have never had a president like this in the history of our country, and it's a great comfort to me, Guy, that he was not elected. You know, I agree, it's a shock and a terrible thing that he got as many good votes as he got. I think the short answer to your question is that our media system has failed us absolutely. The commercial press system in this country has long since failed, that's putting it mildly, to honor its constitutional duty to tell us what our government's doing. They function as a kind of PA system for the White House and the Pentagon, and it goes on day after day after day. This is why we have so many books out there and so many documentaries out there that are so good and tell us so much, because that investigative energy, that patriotic zeal, has got to find an outlet when the press doesn't express it. So, for example, I not only have this book out, Cruel and Unusual, but I also want to mention we're just about to release, for free now, this is not a money-making thing, a DVD of a show that I've been doing here in New York for about a year called Patriot Act. The DVD, I have to say, I'm very pleased with it. It really names names and spells out the exact nature of the Bush-Cheney agenda. It points out the close ties between these people and some very, very extremist Christians. I call Christo-fascists, actually. I don't think they're real Christians. The show is extremely galvanizing. It gets people all fired up, and we want everybody in the country who's still got, you know, his wits left to see the film. The DVD is available to anyone who goes to this website. It's www.patriotnation, one word, patriotnation.us. This, you know...
I'm sure you're going to get it. Give that again. You're going to get a bunch of hits on that.
www.patriotnation, that's one word, .us.
Can you download it on there?
It's just finishing up the last color, process on it. It'll be ready tomorrow. It's not downloadable. We can't afford to do that. But we mail it out in bulk at a very, very low rate. And we're trying to set up screenings all over the country. In fact, Guy, all over the world, because we want the world to see that a lot of Americans understand exactly what's happening here. We don't want to be blamed for this guy's presidency. Plus, there are a lot of Americans in those countries, and we want people to, in Spain and in France and in Britain and in Israel and in parts of the Arab world and stuff, to see this film, because it talks about the one aspect of this regime that the mainstream press ignores and that most people on the left, you know, turn away from, and that is the irrationalist, the crusading dimension, you know, the fiercely religious aspect of this this situation, which is absolutely contrary to the spirit of the framers and absolutely contrary to the views of American Christians of the late 18th century, who understood that you had to separate church and state, because if you have a state religion imposed on people, the first people who are going to be persecuted are those Christians who don't happen to agree with the state religion.
Sure.
Well, we're moving in that direction. We've got a ban on stem cell research. We've got an abstinence-based AIDS policy that is known scientifically to be ineffective, but it's religiously correct. We've got support for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. It's given government way too much power. We've got a major, major campaign going to recriminalize abortion. We've got an Office of Faith-Based Initiatives in the White House and in many, many of the executive departments. This office, which is supposed to support religious social service agencies of all kinds, until yesterday, Guy, had never given a dime to any groups that were either Jewish or Islamic. In fact, yesterday they gave a little money to a Jewish group. That was the first one. It's basically an operation for right-wing Christian groups whose main interest is in proselytizing. And this is with taxpayers' money. And, you know, I could go on at great length about domestic policy, but the fact is that even our foreign policy is determined to a terrifying extent now by religious extremism. Bush has been quoted as saying that this war in Iraq is a religious war. Iraq is swarming with American Christian missionaries. I'm sure they mean well, but they're going over there to convert Muslims to Christianity. This is not what the American people bargained for.
And it's not the time.
It's absolutely not the time. This is like a gift to Al-Qaeda.
Absolutely.
This president is beloved by Al-Qaeda, and anybody who says differently is simply ignoring the evidence. Al-Qaeda has said explicitly, they have announced that they want George W. Bush to be president because he's given them all they want and more. Never in their wildest dreams did they think that, you know, the victims of the 9/11 attack would then go on and take on a second Muslim country that had nothing to do with it. They're beside themselves with joy.
I absolutely agree. You took the words right out of my mouth. And, you know, I agree with you that when you get this DVD out, or that it's important that the rest of the world see it. But because I'll tell you what I'm starting to hear, you know, for many years, whenever the United States government did something to somebody else around the world, the citizens of those countries would always say, well, that's the government, that we know the American people don't go along with that. People around the world are starting to believe that we, the people of the United States, go along with this, the policies and procedures of the Bush administration, and that scares hell out of me.
That scares me, too, and you can thank the media for that, too. I mean, look, you and I, people we know, regular Americans watch the news. You wouldn't know half the time. You wouldn't know most of the time what's really going on here. You watch CNN as well as Fox. Even you read the New York Times. They really downplay how disastrous the situation is. People in this country don't know what's going on in Iraq. People who read the news abroad do know what's going on in Iraq. This is a disastrous situation. But it's disastrous not only because the press makes each one of us who is critical feel like we're somehow isolated, but as you say, it sends a message globally to the world that the American people support this guy, and this guy has never, ever had mass support. He's only had high ratings at moments of extreme mass terror. This is a guy whose whole career, all his success, his very administration, they're based on nothing but fear. The rest of the world can see this. Most of us can see this. But we got to make sure that the rest of the world can see that most of us can see it.
Well, I'm just afraid that if he does get elected this time, the rest of the world's going to, you know, they're just going to go, hey, look, the American people, this is what the American people really are. And
yeah.
You know,
I live a mile away from ground zero, guy. And I went through that. I have kids. And I really feel personally obligated to do everything I can do to make sure the world knows that this country is not by any sense a united country, but it's fractured. And I believe that the people who are intent on voting for Bush are either willfully or unwillfully self-deluded. He is not what he purports to be. He is something more along the lines of fascism. And it's it was a sad day in this country when the media urged Al Gore to throw in the towel after he had won. I thought that was disgraceful. And I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat. But if a Republican had won and a Democrat had stolen it from him from the Supreme Court, I promise you I'd be just as mad now, you know.
Oh yeah. And you know, Mark, one of the good points in your book, I forget what chapter it's in, but you go through one of the things that scares me about how tenacious these people are and how far they're willing to go is you go through in your book and a scenario here where Cheney is being interviewed by Russert. And, you know, they have, on some occasions, Cheney and Bush and the whole Republican Party group that's running right now said that, well, yeah, there was no connection. They've admitted there was no connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam. They've admitted there were no weapons of mass destruction. And yet, here's Cheney out on the stump day after day after day saying that there was a connection and that the weapons of mass destruction are there someplace. And, you know, he just keeps hammering at home after they've already admitted that they're wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing about them. Well, my own view of him and Bush on this matter is that, and this is based on, you know, a great deal of reading and interviewing, I think Cheney believes that there are weapons of mass destruction there, and I think Cheney believes Saddam was behind 9/11. That's why he's able to say it so often and so easily and with such conviction. These are people who are really seriously out of touch with reality, you know. I mean, they inhabit a kind of bubble of their own propaganda and a sense of their own rectitude that is catastrophic for anyone in a position of leadership. No nation can be ruled by people who simply make up their own data. No nation can be ruled by a party that scrubs scientific information from government websites because the information offends their religious scruples. I mean, you know, the major totalitarian dictatorships of the 20th century all made up their own science. They made up their own history. Well, that's not what this country's all about. You know, this country's about freedom of thought. This country's about, you know, reason as well as Judeo-Christian principles. It's not just a pure product of the Puritan arrival in New England. It's something much more sophisticated than that, and something much more democratic, and something much greater.
And they've shown, on the one hand, they want us to believe that they're these devout, wonderful Christians, and on the other hand, they have personally tried to destroy everybody who has dissented in any way, shape, or form who's left their group.
Oh, my God. Well, see, that's just it, Guy. They don't see the contradiction there because they think, and I got a whole chapter in Cruel and Unusual about this, and the show Patriot Act deals with it, too. What really drives them, finally, is not any set of principles. You know, they're not driven by any set of conservative beliefs. They're only about one thing, and that one thing is aggressive attack on other people, smearing them, discrediting them, trying to destroy them, trying to destroy their businesses, trying to destroy their names, demonizing them. This movement is all about demonizing the opposition, whether that opposition is, you know, some foreign Arab population or other fellow Americans who don't happen to see things their way. It's the impulse to demonize that we got basically in the saddle today. If you took away from this movement with its Rush Limbaughs and its Ann Coulters and its Sean Hannitys, if you took out of this movement that impulse to attack, to destroy, to discredit, to tear down, I'm telling you there would be nothing left. That's all there is to it. That's all they can do. That's all they could do throughout their convention. I mean, you wouldn't have thought that that was the convention of a party in power.
Certainly not.
They acted like losers. They acted like angry outsiders. Because that's at the very core of their psychology, it seems to me. All they can do, and this happens repeatedly, is accuse the enemy of the very things that they themselves hate most in themselves.
Well, it's been a successful strategy so far. You know, Mark, we've got a break for news at the top of the hour. I certainly appreciate you being with us today. I do want those of you who are not familiar with Mark Crispin Miller to know that he's not some yahoo who decided to write a book. He's a professor of media studies at New York University. He knows of what he speaks, and he's a terrific writer. You've got to read this book. As you can tell by the discussion we've had here, the man is an expert on this subject. You will find this a good read, an easy read, and a fascinating read, and you'll get a lot of wonderful information out of it. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Guy, and keep fighting the fight.
Again, that book is Cruel and Unusual, Bush Cheney's New World Order by Mark Crispin Miller, and it's by Norton, so be sure and get out and get that book, everybody. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Guy.
Well, we're going to stop for news. I'm a little bit past the news right now, but I think Biz will forgive me for that. I think we've got all of our little problems ironed out. So we're going to pause for news here for a couple of minutes, and you stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. And Biz is heading over there to turn on the news here as soon as we get going. All right, are we ready for the news? Let's do it.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Here it comes. I'm Daria Aldinger, and the winds kicked up in places like Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, as Hurricane Jean spins its way toward the state. This man's lived there for a while. He says, what can you do?
With what happened the last time it was here in the 7 or 8 days without the power, I know what it can be again, so I'm just going to have to deal with it.
ABC's Andrew Colton agrees.
It's as if someone hit rewind and play. Hurricane Jean is expected to make landfall overnight Saturday in the same area of northern Palm Beach County as Hurricane Francis did overnight Saturday 3 weeks ago. Jean is stronger, though, could hit as a Category 3 or possibly a Category 4 storm. Francis was a 2.
Jean would be the fourth hurricane to hit Florida in 6 weeks. That hasn't happened, by the way, in over 100 years. The first presidential debate is set for Thursday in Miami. Maybe. ABC News says it learned a legal issue could cancel it. It's due to an agreement negotiated by the Bush and Kerry campaigns. The Commission for Presidential Debates refuses to sign it as it stands, worried that doing so could jeopardize its nonprofit status. The president and the House Minority Leader locked horns over Iraq in their weekly radio addresses. Here's ABC's Steve Taylor.
President Bush listed positive accomplishments in Iraq and said of the setbacks,
"The enemies of freedom are using suicide bombings, beheadings, and other horrific acts to try to block progress. We are sickened by their atrocities, but we will never be intimidated. And freedom is winning."
Speaking for the Democrats, California Senator Nancy Pelosi said freedom would be winning if the president hadn't diverted resources from fighting terrorism to fighting in Iraq.
"This war has been a grotesque mistake that has diminished our reputation in the world and has not made America safer."
Steve Taylor, ABC News, Washington.
A memorial service was held today in Marietta, Georgia. That's the hometown of Jack Hensley. He was one of the two Americans who was kidnapped last week in Iraq. He was executed a few days ago. This is ABC News.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For birthdays, holidays, or any occasion, give the perfect memorable gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit us at starregistry.com, the Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list and send a beautiful personalized gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Now, homeowners with good credit can refinance and cut your mortgage payments by up to 45% with Quicken Loans. Just call 800-316-3511. With Quicken Loans' exclusive Smart Choice interest-only loan, you can refinance and cut your mortgage payments by up to 45%. Take advantage of your good credit. Call 800-316-3511. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender. State licensing information available on request. Call Quicken Loans now. 800-316-3511.
Our forefathers risked everything for the rights we enjoy. Our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor so we can enjoy the freedoms we have today. In the year 2000, only 51% of the voting population actually voted. Not everyone of voting age is even registered to vote. How sad that the right to vote we enjoy in this country is denied to people living in oppressed countries around the world, and some people in America fail to vote. It is our duty as American citizens to protect our rights by using them. Won't you please register to vote and vote your beliefs? It is vital that we honor those who fought and died for these rights by exercising them. Please register to vote today. This has been a public service announcement from National Right to Life. For more information, please visit our website at www.nrlc.org.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I'm Calvin Hill. As an all-pro running back for the Dallas Cowboys, my focus was football. But as a husband, father, and now a grandfather, today I'm focused on my family and my heart. Because of my high cholesterol, I'm at risk for heart failure. It's a deadly condition that killed my father and robbed our family of many special moments together. But new medications and devices can help you be there for the ones that you love. Ask your doctor.
Call 1-800-AHA-USA1 or click on the Heart Profiler link at AmericanHeart.org.
Fear is fear itself.
And
So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to the Guy James Show. Whether you be listening locally here in Lee and Collier County and Hendry County and all up and down the west coast of Florida, or whether you be on the Internet, we're awfully glad to have you with us this afternoon. Always happy and grateful for every single one of you that that tune in. Whether you're with us or against us, we do want you to know we very much appreciate your listenership. We most certainly do. And I want to wish all of our Jewish friends, I was remiss in the first hour, all of our Jewish friends, want to wish you a blessed Yom Kippur. I think, well, I guess it's sundown today. In my limited knowledge, sundown today, there'll be, if blowing the shofar, that's the ram's horn to signal the end of Yom Kippur, and then folks can end their fasting and have a big feast. So that's a day of atonement for all of our Jewish friends, and we want you to know that we most certainly wish you well on this day. A lot to talk about here. You know, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally in Lee County and Collier County, 263-6570. You know, it was so interesting. I wish I had several hours to talk to Mark Crispin Miller. His book, when you read it, Cruel and Unusual, you will find what a fascinating author he really is. So much insight into and logic goes into what he writes, and he doesn't go off half-cocked like some people do when they write a book. And he said something that really got me started there. You know, he's talking about the Bush's people being delusional, and you know, I think in my 50-some years on this planet, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite so interesting, and at the same time, to me, just totally revolting. I'm talking about the delusional state Bush seems to be in. And I believe that. I believe he is. The guy's living in an absolute dream world, and I believe he's convinced he's right about his perception of what's going on in Iraq. I don't think he thinks he's lying to us. I think he believes it. You know, that's how he's able to speak to these Bush rallies day after day and speak with conviction about how wonderful, no matter how poorly he speaks, but talk about how wonderful things are in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, day after day, if you've heard him, he drones on about how we've liberated 50 million people and given them their freedom to live their lives like we do. Oh, yeah. We've made the world safer by taking out Saddam. He says, safer? Really, safer. You know, all the information available shows that we're far less safe than we were on 9/12/2001. The terrorists are out there multiplying like rabbits, and he says we're safer. I don't think so, and neither do most thinking people. And as I told you earlier today, General Musharraf of Pakistan definitely doesn't think we're safer or the world safer. You know, day after day he talks about the election that are planned in those two dreadful countries as if they've already happened. He talks like it's a foregone conclusion or it's just automatic that they'll take place, and here's the big point, and take place and be fair. You wait till they have these elections and they're not fair, what's going to happen? You know, somehow he's able to forget the fact that first, the elections have not taken place. They're not even close to happening yet. Secondly, if they do happen, when he wants them to, many of the people in both of those countries are going to be left out of the process for one reason or another. And so the elections won't be valid, and they certainly will not be a representation of all the people. And you know what that's going to lead to. You know, what would happen in our country if we had an election and an entire large segment of the population couldn't vote or would not vote? There'd be chaos. No, we're going to tell all the people in Alabama and Wyoming, I'm sorry, we just couldn't let you vote this time around. We just couldn't. Electric was off over there and you couldn't vote and, you know, I'm sorry. You know, does he think the people of Iraq and Afghanistan are ignorant enough to continue to allow these American puppets to run their country? I don't think so. I mean, these are not ignorant people. So here we have the National Intelligence Estimate that came out here a couple of weeks ago, which says, trying to think of the word they use, tenuous. A tenuous peace is the best possible outcome of this mess, with an all-out civil war being the worst outcome. And Bush says, oh, they're just guessing. You know, knowing that this was widely distributed in the American media, you would think Bush would take a different tact about the war. You know, you think he might, he might reconsider his options and take a different path. Instead, he goes right on with the same disastrous policy, stay the course, and calls our Iraqi adventure a great thing. Stay the course. Man, oh man, you know, the entire world now sees that we're on the road to disaster in Iraq, and he's talking stay the course. You know, if he and Uncle Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld were the only ones to think that way, I might understand and just accept the fact that, you know, here we have a handful of guys whose thinking is just screwed up. But the amazing part, and we talked about this with Mark Miller, the amazing part of all this is that Bush and Cheney have convinced about half the population of the United States that their war in Iraq is going very nicely, thank you. How foolish do you have to be to know that's not true? You know, I see the statistics on people's beliefs about Bush's war, and I want to pull my hair out. You know, Bush and Cheney have convinced half of the American voters that black is white and down is up. They've done it. You know, one report after another about this awful mess is seen every day by these people, and they still believe what Bush says about it. That's, to me, that's just unbelievable. We've got almost all the generals who've retired lately once they're free from their shackles of the government saying that we're in a terrible mess over there, and people don't believe them. They don't believe them because they don't want to believe them. In their warped desire to back a winner in George W. Bush, they block out all reality, and that's disturbing. They couldn't possibly be foolish enough to believe what Bush and Cheney are saying, could they? I mean, I know some smart people that I think believe this. It's because they want to. They've got this strange desire to want to believe this man. In reality, I don't think they really believe it, but their overwhelming desire to back a winner, it's what's driving them to go along with Bush, no matter what he says or does. You know, that's really, really dangerous. And yes, I am partisan. Yes, I am a Democrat. Yes, I want John Kerry to win, and I want the House and Senate to be taken back from the Republicans. But, and I swear to you, that if Kerry were president right now and had done all the same thing Bush has done, I would be out campaigning against him with every ounce of strength I have. I swear to God I would be. I've done it before. I've been a loyal Democrat all my voting life, and I've had to make some extremely uncomfortable decisions, as many of you have, about a few Democratic candidates over the year. But I could never have backed Lyndon Johnson in his escalation of the Vietnam War. Never. It was wrong then, it's still wrong, and I still believe Lyndon Johnson made a terrible mistake regarding that ill-begotten war. You know, I hated it when Nixon got into office because of Johnson's actions, but I could never, never have backed a president of my own party when I knew he was dead wrong. That's the difference between these new Republicans and us. They will follow Bush into the fires of hell. They're doing it. No matter what he says, they'll back him. God, that's sick. How sick is that mindset? I mean, it's in your face every single day how bad this thing is. Yes, there have been a couple of positive things go on in Iraq. But my God, can you not see that the roof is caving in? Can you not see that? Some of his own Republican people are saying that this is a terrible mistake and things are going wrong, going to hell in a handbasket. And here this guy says, stay the course. Oh, God, I tell you, Hey, let's go to Russ in Fort Myers. Russ, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy, how you doing?
Good.
I thought your previous caller had said that Al Gore won the 2000 election. Is that true?
He got more votes. That's what he meant.
Oh, the popular vote?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just want to talk about the Iraq war. I don't think it's going as bad as what you're saying.
What evidence do you have of that?
Well, the acting president, Alawi, came over. Did you hear his speech to the UN?
Yeah, sure did.
He even said that it's not going near what the
Well, now, Russ, don't forget, this is the guy that was feeding us all the information, one of the guys that was feeding us all the, you know, about the stockpiles of weapons of mass destruction. And
right,
he's one of the guys that fed us that.
I don't think he has anything to gain by saying that it's going well, because he's trying to get their support to get other people in there to help. Right?
But what did he have to gain when he told us that the WMDs were there and all that? What did he have to gain? He had to gain the position he's in right now.
Saddam did have WMDs. We all know that. That's a known fact, right?
Not to the extent that they were talking about when we went to war. They didn't have them. We've had people on the show who are weapons inspectors tell us that they simply weren't there before this war started.
You know what? One of the problems, though, I think, with the Democrats is you guys are always looking backwards rather than looking forward.
Looking backwards?
Yeah, like complaining about we went to Iraq for the wrong reason.
Well, what are we supposed to do, Russ? We're supposed to say, oh, gee, we love it. We're glad he did this. Huh?
Be positive.
How can you be positive about a cesspool that we've stepped in? How can you be positive about that?
Guys, this could turn out to be one of the best things to bring a democracy to the Middle East.
Never going to happen.
Well, you say that, but you don't know that.
Never going to happen. It's been tried before. It's never going
to
happen.
I hope it does. Thank you.
Well, I hope it does, too. Who doesn't? But, you know, there is no evidence whatsoever. None. That this has been a success so far. Nothing. Zip. Nada. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you know, when the president was in the Rose Garden and giving this glorified story, I believe they cut to a news reporter in Iraq to see just how the conditions were. And it's the first time you've ever seen a news conference or a presentation like that interrupted to go someplace else.
Well, I saw, yeah, and just like you're saying there, I saw a fairly lengthy piece done where they were showing Alawi's speech to people in Iraq at some big restaurant meeting place and all, and all these Iraqis were there watching and they were going, what country is he talking about?
Exactly. See, you know, I heard the fellow from Tampa this morning, and one guy said, this is a wonderful thing that's happening. Over a thousand men now killed. And the fellow up there just cut him off. He doesn't want to hear that kind of stuff. This isn't something to be happy about or glad about or anything else. It's very tragic. I called because you had a fellow last week try to put you on the spot asking you how you would end the war, and I had to get out of my car so I didn't hear if he had a way to end this war.
Well,
but it seems to me if you're going to go to war, you ought to have it figured out so you know how you're going to end it. This war has no end. It's going to end like the Vietnam War did, with us flying people out of there as fast as we can to safety after these enemies that we've created just become so massive. And these insurgents or whatever the dissidents they want to call them, they're multiplying daily. Three of our men get killed a day over there now. This is ridiculous. It should have never been gone into. I don't care if those people have democracy. They can have whatever kind of government maintains an orderly society over there. And when you've got the carnage going on right now that is going on there, that's not an orderly society.
Oh,
that's
John, you're exactly right. Now, I'm a numbers guy. I love to fool around with numbers. And I was figuring out the other day that the population of Iraq, we've got them outnumbered about 11 to 1 here in this country,
mm-hmm.
if my figures are right. And so last week, there were 300 civilians killed in Iraq. 300. Now, since we're in a much bigger country, let's multiply that by the 11. That's 3,300.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can see the relationship I'm trying to build here. What if 3,300 innocent civilians had been killed here last week and the week before and the week before that? We know how we'd react after 2,900 of innocent folks were killed. Imagine having that happen every other week or every week. What would you feel like?
Well, it's obvious. But, you know, I just don't understand these people that come up with, well, we went over there to get the weapons of mass destruction. I've heard the president say that. I've heard we went over there to create a democracy. I've heard 5 or 10 other reasons I can't even think of at the moment. I should write these down and make a list. But there's been too many reasons given for why we went over there. And we should never have gone over there. Saddam wasn't a threat to me or anybody else. If he was a threat to his own people, they should take care of it. We're going to take care of it here November 2nd. And I heard a soundbite from the president at the top of the hour news the other day. He said, jobs change in a changing world. And I thought, fella,
yeah.
Let's change your world and change your job.
Oh, let's help make that come true for
yes.
him.
Before I called you, I was called on a survey for the presidency. And will you put on your priest's frock and everything right now?
Because, of course.
Father, I have a confession. I told him I was going to vote for George Bush.
Did you now?
Yes, I want them to feel overly confident.
Uh-huh.
So when we all go to the polls and vote unanimously for Kerry. And you know, I've heard the arguments that, well, neither candidate is really the greatest candidate. Well, if you want to have cooperation with the rest of the world and you want to stop being an isolationist country, which President Bush has made us, you're going to have somebody different sitting in the driver's seat.
Absolutely, and you're going to have somebody sweep out the management of this war, starting with Rumsfeld.
You've got to have somebody that, oh, I love that you talked about him saying, well, it doesn't matter that the whole country doesn't get to vote. Well, is that the attitude he has toward us in this country?
Evidently.
I think we have some really bad people up there, and folks, I know you're Republicans, and you're proud, but it's time to say enough already. We do not have representation in this country, and we've got to get back to that. And it means both parties working together. And the Peter Principle, and then I'll go, was exemplified this week. Do you know how?
Tell us.
Well, we have a guy that's been on the committee that oversees our intelligence agencies and so forth for 9 years. It's been discovered that these agencies are inadequate. They're not doing a good job. So we appointed this guy to renovate the whole deal again. And that's called the Peter Principle. You raise people to their level of incompetence. So we have a man who supposedly represented us in this area who didn't really live here. He lives up in his farm in Virginia.
Who really didn't represent us. He had one of the poorest attendance records of anybody in Congress.
And absolutely. And we'll just let the listeners guess who that might be.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't mentioned any names yet.
Don't have to.
That's for sure. So, you know, he exemplifies the fact that we don't have representation. And I made this statement many months ago on another program, and people called in defending him. Well, when he ran for office, he said he wasn't going to be able to, you know, give his full time and all that. Well, why would you vote for somebody that's not going to give you their full dedicated time?
I've heard that excuse, too.
Yes. Thank you, Guy.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much. We got a board full of people here. Who are we going to next? So we got Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Guy, I so much appreciate your very direct grasp of reality and your willingness to put it forward as you
Thank you, Dave. Can you speak up just a little?
Yes. Can
okay.
you hear me right?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate your grasp of reality. I think I've differed a little bit because I believe they can't possibly believe all of this that they're trying to sell us because they have to know that they are deliberately spinning and correcting things. I was reminded of the family that had the elephant in the living room, and everybody squeaked around the elephant, and one member of the family was saying, but the problem is we have this elephant in the living room, and everybody said, no, that would be ridiculous. How could we possibly have an elephant in the living room? Well, one of the elephants is a reality that they have to know. Less than 4 years ago, we had a considerable government surplus. We had a Social Security trust fund that would have carried us 30-some years into the future. Presently, all of that's gone. We have a reality that we're approaching at least $1 trillion in debt. I don't know how honest they are about that, but it's rapidly expanding in the billions per day. That's reality. These debts are being bought up by Arabia, China, Japan. They're going to have to be paid by somebody. They're talking like the economy is great. That's one reality, one elephant in the room that they've got to explain. Frankly, I believe there's a lot more.
Well, what can they tell us, Dave? What can they tell us in answer to the age-old question? You know, what's better now? What? Anything?
If you are a billionaire, you're doing pretty well. He has left no billionaire behind. I think we can say that.
I don't think I got many billionaires in my audience, Dave.
Well, then, at least those who are been sold the bill of goods, you know, like in the Confederate Army, very, very poor people fought like crazy to fight the slavery for the millionaire plantation owners, right? And I think we still have that reality, people going out to war believing that somewhere back there there's something in it for them.
Oh, sure.
This country is going down a rat hole in high speed, and they need to see that.
Absolutely. Well, that's part of our job.
We're going to be bankrupt here in a very short order. I don't know if we're going to make it to the next election, let alone if we ever got another 4 years, what would happen.
Well, you know, Dave, I've been telling some of my Republican friends, it's time for you Republicans to start being Republicans again. Go back to being conservative. Go back to being, fiscally conservative. And let's start being honorable Republicans again instead of following this crazy, cultish cabal that's going on in Washington right now.
Blindly programmed by Fox News, Limbaugh, Hannity, whatever's done it to them, but they need to try to just take a little grasp of reality to see what they're really going up against.
It is a cultish effect. There's no question about it. Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you for being there, brother.
Do appreciate it very, very much. Right now, we're going to go and have an interview. We're going to talk to a lady that I've been looking forward to talking to. Talked to the folks at the DNC earlier this week about having this fine lady on the show, and I know she's going to talk about some real something very, very interesting. Perhaps many of you heard about the lady who was fired for having a Kerry sticker on her car and then rehired by the Kerry campaign. We're honored to have Lynn Renee Goebbels with us. Lynn, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
What a story. What a story. First, I want to thank you for coming on the program today. We've got a lot of people on the Internet and a lot of people locally here. Listen, you're up in Moulton, Alabama?
Yes, sir.
Where is that exactly?
It's in between Decatur and Florence. It's well close to Huntsville, if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Huntsville.
Well, first of all, how's it been going working with the Kerry campaign?
It's been going great.
What you been doing?
Well, Monday and Tuesday, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, at his campaign rally.
Have you met Senator Kerry?
Yes, sir.
Well, how do you find him to be?
I find him to be a real nice man.
Well, you can't tell this lady's from Alabama now, can you? You got the loveliest accent, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
Tell us the story. So how long had you? And first of all, Let's mention. Let me see if I got this right. The gentleman who gave you the old axe was Philip Geddes.
That's right.
And he owns a company called EnvironMate.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what transpired there. What happened? You're at work one day and.
Okay, I went to work one morning and coming back from first break, the plant manager come up behind me and told me that Phil told me to take the sticker off my car or I'd be fired.
Wow.
And I told him that Phil couldn't tell me who to vote for. And he told me to go to his office and tell him. So I go in his office and knock on the door, and he tells me to come in. And Phil and another man sitting at a table. And I asked Phil if he told me to take the bumper sticker off my car, and he said, I sure did. And I told him, you can't tell me who to vote for. And he said, I own this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you still can't tell me who to vote for. And he hollered at me. He said, get out of here. And I said, am I fired? Because I didn't know if he wanted me just to leave the office or leave the building. And I said, am I fired? And he said, I'm thinking about it. I said, well, am I fired? And he hollered at me again and said, get out of here and shut the door. So I pulled the door to and turned around, and the plant manager's standing there. And I said, well, I said, do I go back to work or do I leave? And he told me to go back to work and let him talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back out in the plant and start back to work, and the plant manager comes up behind me again and says, I reckon you're fired, that Phil said you could either work for him or John Kerry. And so I took my gloves off and threw them in the garbage and left.
How long had you worked there?
Going on 2 years.
Wow. This is one of these stories that if we didn't hear it directly from you, it'd be hard to believe that someone would be oppressive and foolish enough to. That's terrible. I mean, that's really terrible.
Right.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams you could be fired for having a Kerry sticker on your car?
No, sir. It never crossed my mind. He had put a letter in with our checks, an envelope, stating, what all Bush had done for us.
In with your paycheck?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. And so he was telling you what a great guy Bush was. Well,
he was telling what Bush had done for the company. In other words, you know, he didn't just come right out and say that he wanted us to vote for Bush, but that's what it insinuated.
He didn't give you a list of accomplishments of Kerry in your paycheck, did he?
No, sir.
Well, this is an amazing story. You know, I'm appalled that anybody would have the gall to do this to you, even if he felt like it, that he would go ahead and do it. Are you considering any legal action or anything?
Yes, sir. I have got some attorneys looking into it, but you know, Alabama, they can fire you for any reason.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I don't know if there's a case or not.
I would think it'd be some sort of a violation. If we got any attorneys listening, I would certainly think it would involve your civil rights someplace.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out.
My. I just, I can't imagine being in his position. If I were Mr. Number One Republican in the world, I can't imagine telling an employee that they could not have. I mean, that's, you know, Lynn, one of the things this country's all about is your freedom to vote for whom you want to, and that's why we've had some of these wars, and the Republicans always say they backing all this stuff, but when it comes down to giving you that freedom, to allowing you that freedom, they're taking away from you, and I don't understand.
I don't either. I mean, you know, he voiced his opinion, and I thought, you know, I had a right to voice mine.
Absolutely. Well, how many people work there?
Oh, well, they got two shifts, and it's about 25 people.
I see. And has anybody else had any problem, or has anybody else had a Kerry sticker on their car?
No, sir, not that I noticed. You know, politics was never, ever discussed inside or outside the plant.
You are probably somewhat unusual in your area, maybe, for having a Kerry sticker on your car.
I think so.
I bet you seeing like 2-to-1 Bush stickers over above Kerry stickers.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I can just imagine some of these people driving around that area saying, you know, I've got the same thing right here where we are down here in Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. It's heavily outweigh us, but I've never had anybody that tell me I better have to take the sticker off my car, and I do have one, by the way.
Okay.
Well, Lynn, what's your future look like?
Well, it looks pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Kerry called me and offered me a job, and I really enjoy it.
Wonderful. Well, so what's your next deal you're going to do?
Well, right now, I'm working, you know, in a local campaign office in Decatur, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at any time I can get a call to go and meet him at a campaign rally.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
Yes, sir, it is.
I bet it is. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
What did your husband think about this whole deal?
Oh, he's on cloud nine.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
So he's for Kerry as well.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that you don't have a divided family.
Oh, no.
Uh-uh. Well, Lynn, that's an amazing story. And if you are able to pursue this anyway legally, you let us know.
Because I sure will.
I want to let everybody know about this story. I think
okay.
This is one of the meanest things I've heard during. There's been a lot of mean things go on politically, but this is one of the worst. And shame on Philip Geddes of Moulton, Alabama. That's all I can say.
I agree with you.
Lynn, thanks so much for being on the program. Great hearing from you. I can tell you speak from the heart when you talk about this whole situation. And
yes.
If anything more comes of it, you be sure and let us know.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lynn Renee Goble from Moulton, Alabama, the now famous lady who has lost her job but gone on to bigger and better things. Much bigger and better things with the Kerry campaign. I'm so glad to hear that, and I thought that was a very nice humanistic move by John Kerry, and B, probably a pretty smart move too, don't you think? Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. If you're on the phone, hang on. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show.
Look.
Life insurance is as important to your financial plan as a solid foundation is to a house. Today, David Woods, president of the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education, explains why.
A financial plan without life insurance is really just a savings and investment program that dies when you do. If you haven't guarded against disaster, then that financial plan will collapse in the event of someone's death.
If someone with a life insurance need told you they wanted to put all their money in stocks, what would you say?
I would argue that's the biggest reason to buy life insurance, because it's guaranteed. It doesn't depend upon the market. You don't have to bet your family's future on an exciting stock or stock market continuing to go up or remaining up. There is a place for investments, but there is also a place for life insurance as the basis of a sound financial plan.
This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
Attention, baby boomers of America. A message from the American Optometric Association.
By now, your little foray into middle age has introduced you to presbyopia, a loss of close focus. And you've probably run to the drugstore to try on reading glasses. By trial and error. Don't try to be your own eye doctor. Get the reading glasses you really need. See your optometrist. Or you could just learn to live with the headaches and the poor fitting glasses and the nods.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship, a kindly friend will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend is wrong, dead wrong, because the fact is many fish are declining in number, and unlike other things, there's actually something you can do about it. Simply log on to GetGreen.com to learn how making the right seafood choices can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. It's easy to do. And now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's GetGreen.com, a message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh yeah, back with you here in the second hour of the show today in the hurricane capital of the world, Florida. Very glad to have you with us today. I guess the wind's going to be picking up around here in a little while and overnight, but we're not going to get the brunt of this hurricane, so I think we're going to be doing all right. You know, by the way, you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04, or 479-5540 here in Lee County, and in Collier County, which is Naples for you out-of-towners, 263-6570. So call us. We've got a couple lines open. We're always glad to hear from you. Before I get to the phones, I always like to take a good look at the candidates, whether they be national or whether they be local. And you know, around here we don't get to have very many Democratic candidates. In fact, down in Collier County, which is just south of us, just a little ways right here, we don't have a single Democratic person holding office. And it came to my attention, oh, several months ago now, that a really wonderful lady by the name of Julie Uresti is running for the county commission. And believe me, this is something that is unusual. She's running with well, she's got a lot of guts. And she's running for the county commission seat in Collier County. She's a career woman. She's, once you get to know her, you'll find out she's got an incredible record of determination and accomplishments. She's a working mom. And, you know, one of the things that I like most about Julie Uresti is she really does understand the needs of working people. She has been one all of her life, and she knows what hard work it is, and she understands just what goes on in an average working people household. And Julie will finally bring some minority representation to the county commission, and she really does speak from the heart. And I encourage all of you folks, I'm wanting to put my stamp of approval on her candidacy. I think she's a great person and would be fantastic to have as a county commissioner in Collier County. So just take it from me that, you know, this isn't any paid advertisement or anything. I just want to endorse this lady because I believe she stands for all the things that a county commissioner or anybody in any office should stand for. She's a hard working person, and she understands the needs of the real people. And I hope I hope you'll remember her when this election comes up, all of our local people here. Julie Uresti, if you don't know a lot about her, take a look. You know, you can find out plenty about her. And all you folks down Naples way, remember that name. You're going to hear a lot out of this gal. You really will. Going to go to the phone right now. We've got Julio in Fort Myers. Hi, Julio.
Guy, what's up?
Oh, man, lots going on here today.
I want to talk about what the Republican who called at first, and he was talking about the Democrats' problems are always looking backwards or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's the Republicans' problem. They don't look backwards. Because there's this little thing that says that if you don't know about your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
And what we're seeing right now is exactly what happened in Vietnam. The problem that the Republicans have is that the man who they elected decided not to go. Maybe if he would have went, you know, he probably would have seen what happened, and then he would have avoided this whole situation. And then the other thing it does, it gives them a no feeling of consequence, because they don't have to look at the history. They don't have to look at the results. It's not their kids die. It's other people's kids die. So to them, it's no difference. It's just like, whatever. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. No consequence.
Yeah, you can do all the experimenting you want to with somebody else's kids.
And you took the words right out of my mouth when I saw the press conference with Alawi and Bush. Just imagine Putin and Bush standing next to each other. And Putin giving a speech saying, well, you know that massacre in the school? Well, we're going to go ahead and fight those people in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to fight them here. And then these people sit around and they wonder why they hate us when our president is basically standing there saying it's better that the Iraqis die than we die. We're going to fight our enemy in their country, whether they like it or not, and this president is going to support it. So there.
Yeah, and what does Alawi look like to his people over there, saying, you know, going along with that?
Well, I mean, obviously he should garner a lot of respect because, you know, he says everything is okay. And I would have liked for you to ask that Republican, if Iraq is so free and everything's going so great there, why doesn't Bush and Romney go and take a stroll down the street in Baghdad, you know, start giving out humanitarian supplies the way they did down here after the hurricane?
Sure. Good idea. Somehow, I think passing out cases of water with two or three Kevlar vests and a helmet and all that on, I don't think that would work so well.
Yeah, that's too close to combat for Bush. I'd like to say just one more thing.
Sure.
About this whole thing, we'd rather fight them over there than over here. That we're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them here. The premise of that statement is that before the Iraq War, there were thousands of terrorists inside the United States plotting and waiting to destroy it. As soon as we invaded Iraq, all those terrorists got together and said, well, let's not stay here. Let's go to Iraq, and let's go fight over there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how stupid do you have to be to believe that? And that's what boggles me. That's what drives me crazy. I'm like, for someone to accept that, I mean, they have to agree with that. All these people were sitting here, and one day they just said, well, we need to go defend Iraq, so let's go over there. And that just basically takes away the whole debate. I mean, you can't have a rational debate with that type of mentality.
Oh, you're so right on with that statement. You really are. Thanks, Julio.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Great to hear from you. You know, I like hearing from Julio. He's always got a good point to make, and it's always great thinking and logic behind it. I love it that we have so many very intelligent and well-informed callers. You know, so many times we get calls from people from the other side that like to call and argue, but they just don't have the facts. And we do like to deal with facts on the program, so it is good to hear from folks like that. It always is. Let's go to Don in Marco Island. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm from a state who is strongly in the Bush column, and I'm a registered Republican, and I have been a registered Republican for my whole life. And I'm a pretty old guy. I'm on Social Security, and growing up, I listened to W's grandfather, Prescott. And I'm going to tell you something. Prescott Bush, I can remember him in a speech saying how we have to stop those illegal abortions. We have to do something to stop them. That tells me that he was pro-choice. Prescott Bush, this guy's grandfather, was for fiscal conservative. That's one of the reasons that the people in Connecticut voted him into office. And Prescott Bush was for a strict separation of church and state. And W's father was the same way before he tied up with Reagan. And you notice, the Reagans, even Nancy, won't support the Republican platform because it turned her stomach to have to listen to those religious fanatics that threw the Bible in. These people that go through the Bible the way they do are the same thing as those people that go through the Quran the way they do. And it's a terrible thing that our country has been pushed into a religious war that's been being fought for 1,600 years. We've got to find a way to get out of that country.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I've been saying for a long time now, and I know I offend some Republicans when I talk about it, but I do hope they know that I'm not talking about your father's Republican. I'm not talking about the Rockefeller and Eisenhower and Goldwater Republicans, Jacob Javits. I'm not talking about those Republicans. Because I really don't think these people are Republican at all. I don't know why the good old-fashioned Republicans will claim these guys. I really don't.
These people are not Republicans. These people are religious fanatics. And the only reason that these people changed from Democrats to Republicans was because they saw the Democrats, when John Kennedy sent troops down south to stop the segregation that was happening down there, they saw the Democrats as their enemy, which they were the whole time. I mean, they were Democrats the whole time because it was the Republicans who freed the black man. They're still fighting segregation, and they're still fighting religious freedom. They don't want you to be Jewish. They don't want you to be Buddhists. They don't want you to be Muslims. They don't want you to be atheists. If you're not what they are, you're going to go to hell, and they're going to help you get there.
That message is coming across loud and clear. It really is. Hey, Don, thanks for calling.
One other thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is that they're equating this to a football game, that they have to vote or they have to support their team, no matter what, right or wrong, no matter what. And if you think when you sit at a football game and they're calling penalties against your team that are wrong, I mean, that are correct, you're sitting there booing them because it's your team, and that's exactly what they're doing.
You don't want your team to cheat to win.
But they do. They don't care how they win. They'll cheat and lie and steal.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, I thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call, Don.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Very much appreciate your call. Going to go to Joe in Fort Myers. Joe, welcome to the show. Hello? Think we lost that call. Okay. Let's go to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I wish you all of the luck in the world with the hurricane.
Oh, we're going to be okay where we're at here.
Yeah. You really are the hurricane capital of the world.
No doubt about it.
Guy, I would like to talk to you about something I saw yesterday at the Edwards rally, rather. And it didn't get any airplay. Did you happen to catch it?
Are you talking about the incident about the gentleman with the sharing his medicine with his wife?
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell them that, or you want to?
Why don't you tell them, and then I'll...
Well, I thank you for bringing this up.
Okay.
I don't like to talk about this. I'm ashamed. I'm really ashamed of things that go on in this country when I have to talk about this. But yesterday at an Edwards rally, a man was standing there, a veteran was standing there, a young lady was holding the microphone for him, and he said, I got this heart problem. I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said. I've got this heart problem, and I'm sharing the medicine I get from the VA with my wife because she has no health care, and she needs medicine too. He said, I cut them in half, and we do the best we can. You know, he got teary-eyed, and he was shaking, and his voice was cracking, and he was really shaken up, and he was really taking a chance, because if the VA finds out about him sharing his medicine, they'll cut him off, because sharing is not allowed. And Edwards had real compassion, passionate look on him. He dropped his head and shook it and said, I hear you, brother, I hear you. You know, a pin could be heard in the room, and there were solemn faces, and thank goodness MSNBC covered that.
They covered a clip of it.
Just a clip.
Just a clip, and I just happened to catch it. The guy's voice was trembling. Now, you know, I'm around a lot of veterans.
I know you are.
And the guy clearly had more than heart problems. And,
You know, Amanda, I was thinking about this, of just how screwed up things are with our veterans. You know, as I've told you before, and others, when they come home from the service, they're entitled to all the honor and respect and care that we can give them. And there's something really screwed up, about a country who we have 100 senators and 435 congressmen in the House. We got 535 legislators sitting there with the very finest medical care money can buy.
That we're paying for.
We're paying for every dime. They've got it for life. Every one of them's got it for life. And if they need anything medically, it's paid for 100% for the rest of their lives. And here we've got soldiers. We've got soldiers coming home from wars with arms and legs missing, psychologically screwed up, people that need help.
Yeah.
And yet, they take care of themselves, these people do, but they don't take care of these soldiers, and they cut benefits.
They cut benefits, and you know, the part that I noticed about Edwards is he dropped his head, and he shook it, and tears welled up in his eyes, and he said, "I hear you, brother. I hear you." And you know, these people who claim that they're compassionate conservatives, that is the biggest lie I have ever heard in my life.
I don't want to hear it from them.
I don't want to hear it from them anymore either. I mean, compassion, that is not. They have a new dictionary. They've got a different Bible. They've got a different dictionary. I mean, like, who invented the word suiciders? Who invented the word evildoers? There's no such terminology. But I figured out something during that rally, even though I didn't get to see it all. It was just a small 15-second clip. You know the media is the problem. So
sure.
I've come up with an idea, and I want everyone within my voice. I'll tell you what we need to do with some of the media. We need to send them those little spin tops. You know, like when we were kids,
yeah.
Where you pump them up,
yeah.
And it spins with the note that says, when you get through spinning George Bush, here's another toy to play with, because we're fed up. I really think everybody ought to send them a quarter top and let them play with the spin tops.
Oh, I agree, Amanda. This situation, anybody who's willing to overlook this situation about the VA and the medical care that these people need. Anybody that's willing to overlook that and push it off in the corner there so it doesn't bother the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm talking to doctors at the VA, and they have 19 beds in Atlanta that aren't even, that they've cut that. Well, there's only 19 on the psych wards. And they're servicing 3 states.
Wow.
And, I mean, my husband's had an appointment for over 7 months. They wrote us a letter and said, well, we have to cancel that appointment. Well, I got on the phone, Johnny on the spot, you know me, and I got him in there, but only because he has a good doctor. If he didn't have the doctor he had, he would have been pushed back another 6 to 9 months. And Max Cleland, when he was Secretary of the VA, he did a heck of a lot for the veterans. Now, I don't care what anybody says. I know what Max did. And it's just one thing, and this Precinthi, he is a joke. He worked under the Bush One. You can't get anywhere with these people. And they're in the same, they're in lockstep. They're marching right along with Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and all of this bunch. And all I could think of with the media yesterday is they're talking Peterson. They're talking Michael Jackson. And... and you got a veteran shaking there, cutting his medication. If he were 100% total and permanent, his wife would have, should have, not necessarily would have, something called Champ VA. And I know people who, it took me to get to Max to get my Champ VA started. So, you know, people aren't doing their jobs. They're not watching what the government is doing to them, and they're paying for it. People, get it through your head. They work for us. We pay the bills. We pay their salaries.
That's right. That's right. Amanda, thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys.
I do appreciate it. This is a situation when I hear that sort of thing going on, as you know, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, I'm certainly not a war hawk. You can call me a dove if you like, because I am. But when these men have to go and fight and risk their lives and limbs and make their families suffer like they are now, families all over this country, suffer for this country, signed up to defend this country. They signed up to defend it, not to go to a war on a whim. You know, I hate it when somebody says this crap about, oh, well, don't feel bad because they signed up for it. They asked for it. Yeah, right. They all signed up for the military so they could go over in Iraq and fight a war that Bush made up, for reasons he made up. That's you telling me that's what they joined for? I don't think so. If you got a brain in your head, you know that. So don't give it this stuff. Oh, well, they volunteered for it. You should have known what they're getting into. No, they didn't know what they were getting into. Absolutely not. We'll be back and talk about this a little more after the top of the hour. You're listening to the Guy James Show, WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Not again. I'm Daria Aldinger. Yes, Florida, again.
I'm aggravated. I'm just tired of it, you know? Hopefully this one will lose a little strength, but it looks like it's gaining, so we'll see.
But when it comes to you and a hurricane, the hurricane usually wins, and Gene could be trouble. Ed Rappaport is Deputy Director of the National Hurricane Center.
We do think that overall the hurricane is strengthening and will likely be at the near the upper end of Category 3, perhaps Category 4 at landfall.
But ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman says some people in Palm Beach don't seem too concerned.
It is very surprising to see this many people on the highways. The Florida's Turnpike is really very, very busy. Traffic is heavy in both directions. One would think, given the number of warnings, that people would start to go home, stay home, and wait this one out. That is not happening yet.
Gene is expected to make landfall late tonight. The first presidential debate is set for next Thursday in Miami, but there is a new problem that could cancel it, and it's not the weather.
ABC News has learned that the Commission on Presidential Debates is not willing to sign a letter of agreement on the Miami debate because it contains language which commission lawyers say could threaten the organization's nonprofit status.
ABC's Steve Taylor in Washington. Family and friends of Jack Hensley held a memorial today in his hometown, Marietta, Georgia.
I hope Jack knew how special he was. You know what? He didn't. That's just it with Jack. He really didn't know. We all know. But what was important to him was us, not him.
Hensley was one of the two Americans who were kidnapped last week in Iraq. He was executed earlier this week. The other American executed not long after that. A British man was kidnapped with them. It is not known yet whether he has been executed or not. Explosions rocked the city of Fallujah, a hotbed of Iraqi insurgency. The blast believed to be the work of U.S. airstrikes. American troops have not entered the city since ending a three-week siege there in April. This is ABC News.
If you think it's too late in life to earn the college degree you want, listen to this. Now you can go to a college designed for busy working adults. It's University of Phoenix, the nation's largest privately accredited university. In most cases, you can earn a bachelor's or master's degree in just 2 to 3 years. To find out how, call 1-800-853-4433. At over 140 University of Phoenix campuses nationwide, the small classroom settings are designed for working adults with busy lives. With their efficient learning model, you'll cover more material in less time, going to convenient classes in the evening or on the weekend. At University of Phoenix, you can do this. For a complimentary brochure on degree programs in business, technology, nursing, education, and more, call University of Phoenix now, 1-800-853-4433. Offer not valid in Tennessee or Nevada. Programs vary by campus. Classes are forming, so call now. 1-800-853-4433. That's 1-800-853-4433.
The storm may be over, but the story is just beginning. I'm Chris Safadi from Wink News. This hurricane season has been devastating to portions of Southwest Florida. That's why Wink News has formed the Ion Recovery Team, a team designed to inform you on the progress of rebuilding after this disaster. But most of all, showing you how people are putting their lives back together. Wink's Ion Recovery Team, another reason to depend on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
There are many choices you make, so thank you for choosing Wink as the best in Southwest Florida. In a recent News Press Readers poll, Wink TV was awarded Best TV Station. Wink News anchors Jim McLaughlin and Lois Tomey, Best News Team. Chief Meteorologist Jim Farrell also honored in the Best of Southwest Florida poll. And Wink's Brian Simon voted Best Sportscaster. So what makes Wink the best? Just watch Wink News and find out. Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
In this corner, weighing several tons, the challenger, your house! And in the red corner, weighing next to nothing, the undisputed champion of the world, Wildfire!
Think your house can win the fight? Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
From Joey Reynolds to Matt Drudge, Power Talk 1200 is your weekend choice for Power Talk.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, yeah, back with you. And I've been taking a poll here with the studio audience trying to decide whether I should talk about this email I got this week. Some of them said yes, some of them said no. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in a little while. That's the ornery side of me. I do have an ornery side, by the way. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk about this email. I'm not going to read the exact email because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I heard something this week by way of email that I guess I can buy it. I guess it's probably the truth, or could be the truth. I don't know. I'm gonna do this like Rush Limbaugh usually do it. Well, we heard this, and I'm gonna say that. But this email. by the way, call us 888-602-7500-7501-02-03-04. Locally 479-5540 in Lee County and Collier County 263-6570. This email I got reminds me of the story this week that came out about the country of Turkey. Turkey's bid to join the European Union is in hot water due to Turkey's Prime Minister, what is his name, Erdogan? He's insisting, get this now, he's insisting that Turkey make an adultery a criminal offense. Now, there you go. In the United States, that's going to put a lot of people to work because we'd have to build enough prisons to hold 50 or 60 million more people. Adultery is a criminal offense. There goes Bill Clinton. No doubt that U.S. conservatives would come down on Erdogan's side, given their proclivity for using the force of the state to legislate morality and responsibility with respect to nonviolent behavior. Can't you just hear, this article says, can't you just hear the Heritage Foundation is claiming, oh my gosh, if you're not in favor of criminalizing adultery, then that means that you favor adultery. That's how the Heritage Foundation thinks. I tell you what, that's a good one. And that does remind me of this email I got. Remind me to tell everybody about that email. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna tell them about it. I hate to tease you like that, but don't let me forget to tell them about that email. John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think maybe what we should do is outlaw hurricanes. How's that?
Oh, man, I'm all for that.
Do you think that might work?
We got just as much chance of outlawing hurricanes as we do making adultery a criminal offense.
Yeah. It would be interesting. I think a lot of our Congress people would be having problems, too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody emailed me something, and it was very serious from some contacts I have up in New York. And it seems there's a bill that's coming up before Congress, or that comes the spring, if Mr. Bush wins the election, they are going to institute a draft. Have you heard about that?
Well, yes, I have heard about it. And, you know, there's been many military experts that say they're going to have to do it.
Well, let's think about this for a minute. You know, people are not thinking about this war in terms of where it's going to hit and looking back at Vietnam. But everybody who is a Republican and for this war, I wonder how many people are ready to have their youngsters be drafted and go to Iraq.
Well, yeah, not very many.
I mean, we've had this backdoor draft, which we don't admit to, with the National Guard and Reserves. But how many of our young people who, you know, so far riding free, you know, are willing to go to Iraq? And how many of the young people who haven't been in politics are ready to go and, you know, join the Army and fight and die for this?
Oh, you know, Dick, or John, I saw a cartoon this week. It was a two-frame cartoon. It showed a young Republican standing in front of a TV set. And the TV was the TV announcer was saying, and the war's going on, and the United States did this, and the United States, our troops did this, and our troops that did that. And this young Republican was going, yeah, right on, right on. And in the next frame, the announcer said, thinking about reinstituting the draft. And the young Republican standard said, whoa, man, I don't think so. That's how fast they'll change their mind.
And what about the Bush daughters?
Yeah. They're that age, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you don't see them, you know, with all his talk about volunteer army and military, you don't see them joining.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Oh, why not?
Well, you know why. You know why? Because the ruling class doesn't want to get involved in that sort of thing. It's a sticky mess, John, and they don't want to be soiled with that sort of thing.
Yeah, but if you're really patriotic,
well,
you really say, you know, you're religious, you're patriotic, don't you have your family do exactly what you want the rest of the people who are following you do?
Well, I would think so, but then, you know, you've got to think about Barbara Bush and that famous quote of hers. You know, I wonder what she would say about her granddaughters there. I don't want to worry my mind about such things, you know. Then she would have to worry, and she doesn't want to waste her beautiful mind on things like that.
So it's all right for John Q. Public to have their youngsters go to war, but not the Bush twins.
Of course it is. Absolutely.
Well, explain the morality to me.
There is no explanation of that, as you well know, John. I think it's the way it's been since time immemorial, and will always remain so, that the ruling class is going to do what they want to do, and the rest of us are...
Well, why are people voting for people like this?
You got me. That's a mystery to me.
Well, those are my questions to you, and you're not giving me very good answers.
Well, I understand that. You're asking too tough questions. You're asking me things that I don't think even Mr. Bush could answer those questions. As learned and knowledgeable and wise, as sage as he is, I don't think he can answer those.
Well, you know, and this is my question. For all those grandparents, parents, and young people who admire the Bushes, how many of these people are willing to go to war, to fight this war, that Mr. Bush is not willing to send his daughters to? And why aren't we raising this as a campaign issue?
Oh, absolutely. It ought to be a campaign issue. And, you know, there are some who are saying, John, that right after this is over, we're going to go hell-bent for leather into Fallujah and all sorts of, you know, really aggressive military action soon as the election is over.
Well, you this is the question. I mean, are you willing to have these people put their lives on the line? Are we willing to send our children, grandchildren, or our young people who are in college and voting age today willing to say, fine, I'll give up my education. I'm going to fight for my country. I believe in what this man is doing. This election should be a referendum. Do we believe in this? Do we believe this is a just war, that we ought to be there, that we're willing to lose as many people as we did in Vietnam? We're already losing people every single day. Is this something that we believe in, this leadership? And to me, that's the critical issue of this election.
And still, you know darn well this election is going to be, it's going to be voted upon by sound bites. People don't take the time to really dig and find out the truth, and that's so disturbing.
You know, it's not the Dan Rather issue.
No.
And it's not the Vietnam issue, except that, we went through this. Are we willing to follow this leadership? But, people turned on Lyndon Johnson because of this. Nixon got us out. Now, the question is, we're facing the same thing today. Is this something that people believe that's a necessary war? Do people believe in what Bush is saying? And I think it's very, very critical that the lines be drawn, the question be asked. I mean, you've had people come on your show telling us and justifying this war. And my question to you, I think you should ask these people, are you willing to have your children, your grandchildren, or are you willing to go over and fight it?
Exactly right, John. A great question as always, and one that ought to cause a lot of these Republican voters to search their souls.
Right, and one that I haven't gotten answers to, but I thank you for the time anyway.
Thanks for your call.
Take care.
I do appreciate it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 0204. And before I go back to the phone, I want to say a very, very, very special thank you to Eric John Peterson up in Castleton, Vermont. Eric, you know why I'm thanking you. I want you to know I say thank you from the very bottom of my heart. And my goodness, how very, very thoughtful of you. I guess we'll leave it at that. But again, I want to thank Eric John Peterson up in Castleton, Vermont. Beautiful territory up that way. You Vermonters live in a very beautiful state, and this man has a very beautiful heart. Thank you, Eric. Do appreciate it very much. Right now, we're going to go to another gentleman with a big heart and a great mind, and always keeps us abreast of what goes on in the Big Apple. We go to our New York bureau, Jeff in Brooklyn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Guy.
How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. No hurricanes to watch out for here. I just keep watching that map to see if it's going near my parents' place, you know?
Yeah.
Madness.
They're north of us here, aren't they?
In Venice.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're okay this time around.
I think so, too.
You never know with these bees. Anyway, going back to Alawi, did you notice that he didn't even seem to realize that he'd been accidentally given a copy of Bush's stump speech?
You're so right on with that one. I was shocked. I really was.
I sat here going, good God, it's a campaign appearance, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get Cheney and Bush going, because Kerry said, it's not good. I mean, Alawi hasn't left the green zone ever, you know?
Yeah.
To fly to here, you know? And they probably have to, like, force him back on the plane, you know?
Sure.
Back
to land. Yeah.
And Cheney gets up, and goes, you shouldn't be talking bad about our allies.
Yeah, right.
He's not our ally. He's our employee.
Exactly.
I mean, the thought that Alawi would go against the Bush company line is like expecting a new trainee under Trump to say, the toilets are overflowing in the casino bathrooms. They're not going to do that. Certainly not in front of national television.
You are right.
It was just an act of madness. And yet you had one caller earlier that's saying, but Alawi says it's really good over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Alawi is not tripping over the sewage flowing through the streets of Baghdad, is he?
That's true. Getting three square meals a day and not having to worry about his skin too much with all the American military guarding his behind all day long.
Yeah, because the money that was supposed to go to help, like, fix the infrastructure is now being used to protect his butt.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just, you know, and people just are just buying it, you know. Well, I mean, if you watch, if again, you can't watch cable news. I have a friend of mine, my composing partner up here, that gets into such a fit, and I go, turn it off.
Oh yeah.
Turn it off. Stop. You know. But the polls. I said the polls are meaningless.
I think they are. I think they tried real hard to strike fear or make people give them a defeatist attitude. But thankfully, a lot of people hung in there, and they're back to pretty much even again.
Well, it doesn't even really matter.
No,
the polls do not include newly registered voters. It does not include people that don't use a landline as their major phone. If you have a cell phone, if you use a cell phone, you're not being polled. And I say. It's we know that it's being used to soften things up. Oh, it's very close, or he's ahead, so that, you know. The only thing that we have to do is ignore the polls and have an absolutely massive, massive, massive turnout. And I mean, I don't care how blue your state is. In New York, it's pretty much a done deal, which is not going to carry New York. But Kerry has to carry New York by huge margin, and the voter turnout across the country has to be huge. If that happens, then all of the die-bolt shenanigans won't work.
Right, that's right. You know, you're right, Jeff. The die-bolt shenanigans are only going to work if it's a close election, and they need a few thousand votes here and there.
And that's why you've got the cable whores, the CNNs, and well, forget Fox completely, but it's very close. It's very close. Which is a little bit ahead. These polls just don't mean anything because they are polling for somewhere in the 20th century. They have to have new, models to effectively poll in the 21st century.
Sure.
They're just and people just go, oh well. They want them to go, oh well, he lost.
Or you're much. Right. Hey Jeff, thanks for calling.
You're always welcome.
Good to hear from you. Keep your nose in the air. Find out all the skinny and what's going on in your neighborhood.
and Guy James is listener supported. Support people.
That's
good
right.
Night all.
Thanks, Jeff. Oh yeah. Hey, before I get to that email where I was going to talk about this email, I want to tell you one thing before I get back to the phone. There's going to be a. Now the erased part of it here on here. There's going to be a thank you veterans evening, I think is what they're calling it, down on 4995 Airport Road North. It's at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club. I believe that's where it's at. And here I'm getting an update for that. Here we go. A veteran salute Tuesday. That's this coming Tuesday, September the 28th at 7:30. Now go to this. There's no reason why a lot of you can't go to this. A veteran salute Tuesday at 7:30. That's the 28th. That's at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club. A lot of you know where that is. It's so easy to get to. It's at 4995 Airport Road North in Naples. 4995 Airport Road North, Naples. All veterans are welcome. They're going to have Del Sandusky there. And as you know, many of you know, Del Sandusky is one of the Swift Boat veterans. For Kerry, and we've had him on the show. Dell's a heck of a guy and a good and loyal friend to John Kerry. So, again, that's coming up Tuesday at 7:30 at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club, a fabulous facility at 4995 Airport Road, North Naples. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, doesn't make any difference. It's a salute to the veterans, and that's totally nonpartisan. So go see it. We're going to go to Rutherford and Melbourne.
Yeah, thank you very much for letting me on.
Oh,
show.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Crazy Mike has to make an appearance every week. You're getting too easy, Mike. It's too easy. Just too easy. Yeah, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. He's that psychopath that calls here every once in a while, and I have some other terms for him, but never mind. Let's go to Greg in Connecticut. Hi, Greg.
Guy, how are you doing?
Good.
That idiot never gives up, does he?
No, he doesn't. He sits by his phone all day long and I hear he's calling the Air America folks whenever he gets a chance, too, so they're wise to him, too. Anyway,
I just thought I'd call and give you an interesting perspective I got last
week. Yeah, speak up a little if you can, Greg.
Okay, is this a little better?
Yeah.
Okay.
last week I went with a group of people, and we went from Connecticut, and we went down to Pennsylvania to Canvas for Kerry. And I thought it was a really interesting experience because we went to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it was right next to Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is supposed to be kind of the ground zero of elections. They always say, as goes Allentown, so goes the country. And it was very interesting because we were canvassing there in Bethlehem. And I'll tell you, when you go door to door in places like this, you the things you find are amazing. First of all, you'll go to an address and it'll be an apartment building. So the person you think you're going to is not the person that was there before. Or you'll ring a doorbell and it's actually the apartment upstairs, things like that. So it's just amazing in doing 2 hours so I can see how these polls can be skewed. You know, you think that, oh, we have this number here, and it's not. You know, other times I'd go to people's doors and you'd say, well, you know, who are you thinking of voting for? And they'd look at you straight in the eye and say, oh, I just don't know. You know, I haven't even thought of it yet. You know, or other people who would just, you know, say, you know, I'm voting Democrat all the way or I'm voting Republican all the way and not even think about the issues. And also there would be people who would say, oh, yes, I'm very much for Kerry, but they wouldn't consider voting for the local congressional candidate. Hmm. You know, so people obviously don't understand that, you know, if Kerry wins but we don't have a Democratic, at least House or Senate, we're going to be in big trouble too.
You know, Greg, you're so right, and that's one thing I want people to be cognizant of, that fact. Here's our stance on it here at the show. The day after September, or November the 2nd, we are going to redouble our efforts and go to work harder than ever to work toward the midterms to take back the House and Senate, whatever we've left behind this time.
Exactly. It's the only way to go, because they'll impeach Kerry for walking on the wrong side of the street.
Sure.
You know? So anyway, I just thought I'd give that perspective.
Well, thank you, and you're right. They'll have the numbers to do it, no matter any kind. You know, that's the one good thing about John Kerry. There's a lot of good things about John Kerry, but he is a very, very upstanding, moral man. And they'd have to dig pretty doggone deep to find something to impeach him for. But I don't want to underestimate him.
Oh, no. I mean, you know what? I mean, it's all about finding the truth, right?
Yes.
I mean, so.
Thanks, Greg.
Anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
Great to hear from you.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. Got a couple lines open. 479-5540 here locally. And let me tell you once again about that veteran salute. It's 7:30 Tuesday, September the 28th at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club, 4995 Airport Road North. All veterans are welcome. They're having complimentary refreshments. Guest speaker is going to be Del Sandusky. He's not politically sponsored. This is a veteran's deal. And if you're a veteran, I know you're going to want to go meet with Del Sandusky. He's a very intelligent guy and well-spoken, and I know you'll love talking to him. For more information on that, you can call Angela at 261-6922. 261-6922. You be sure and tune into that. Give her a call. And we want to see a lot of people there for that, because you will enjoy that evening, I promise you. Dell's a very, very interesting man. I promise you I'd tell you about this email I got this week. I cannot vouch for the veracity of this whatsoever, but the guy swears to me that it's absolutely true. So I'm just going to tell you about it, and you can decide for yourself, okay? Guy sends me an email this week and said he went to college with Dick Cheney. I know this has been a long time ago. Long time ago, but he said he went to college with Dick Cheney, and he says Dick Cheney's gay, that he knows for a fact that Dick Cheney is gay. Now, what do you think? Any of you think Dick Cheney's gay? I don't know. I don't know the man, but this guy swears that everybody that was in a particular group there at the university all knows it, and he'd like to hear what everybody else has to think about it, but you know, I don't know the guy. Dick Cheney, he comes on and he talks now and then. He talks a lot about Kerry not being fit for president and all that. But, you know, anyway, the guy's alleging that Dick Cheney is gay. So I just like to know your feelings on it. Do you think, the question here is in the next few minutes, do you think Dick Cheney is gay? And we'd love to know what you have to say about it. So, Do let me know. That's what I heard. That's what we got on this email. Like I said, I can't vouch for it one way or another, but it's an interesting question, something I hadn't thought about before. Really doesn't make any difference to me. If Dick Cheney is gay, that's fine with me. He's if Dick Cheney's gay, he's no less qualified to be vice president than any other guy. He's less qualified, but not because he's gay. That's got nothing to do with anybody, whether they're in the military, a president, vice president, doesn't make any difference at all. But just like to know your feelings on it. So there you go. That's the email I got this week. And the guy had some documents along with it well, they're probably forgers. I don't know. But anyway, there's your chance to talk about that. Let's go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Guy? Nice talking with you.
Pretty good. How are you?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I could care less if the guy is gay. I don't have a problem with gay people whatsoever. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite people is David Brock. He's come a long way. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, I know who David Brock is. Yeah, I have no idea as to his proclivities at all.
Yeah, he's come a long way. He's switched sides now. He's come out with several books. But I don't know if your listeners are aware of the fact that before George Bush ran for any political offices, they actually had to take this man and put him in like a dryout center to dry him out. I think it took 2 years. And right now they've got him on like three medications. I know for one for a fact is for to control his outburst. You know, people just don't know this kind of stuff, and they need to find out what's going on.
Well, they do need to know all about our president. You know, they talk about personal issues. There's probably some personal issues that I would leave out, but, you know, if a president had an alcohol or drug problem, I think that's one thing we certainly should know because it can affect his personality in a very profound way.
Hey,
yeah.
Funny thing, I was watching Al Franken the other night, and had Bush up there addressing, I think it was United Nations or something like that, the UN.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you see, we just get the clips from the news, but if you go to a station like Al Franken, you get the whole clip. And if you looked at this guy, he would stand there and wait a couple of minutes, and then they would shoot by something, and he would read it, and he would speak. And it was like that through the whole speech.
Yeah.
Evidently, this man cannot have a conversation without somebody telling him what to say.
He's the most verbally challenged president I think we've ever had.
I tell you, this guy, I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of years he winds back up in rehab.
Well, you never know. Hey, Bill, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Hey, the question this hour is, according to this email we got, do you think Dick Cheney is gay? We'd really like to know. There are people alleging that now, so let's see what you think about it. We got James in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He's going to check in on this issue. Hi, James.
I know Dick Cheney's gay.
You do, huh?
He dated a friend of mine, Veronica. They were both in seventh grade in 1964, and he was the happiest guy in that class. Nobody gets happier than Dick Cheney. I mean, he's a very gay person. I mean, he loves life, enjoys it. I think that there's no doubt about it that Dick Cheney is gay.
Well, there you go. There you have it. James thinks Dick Cheney is gay, so no doubt about it. So, you know, there you go. If you want to check in on that, be sure and give us a call, 888-602-7500. That's not the main crux of the program today. that's something we threw in there as a little aside. Hey, I want to take a moment and thank some contributors to the program. I'd certainly be remiss if I didn't. I'd like to thank Chris Kern, William Sherrill, Vince DiAmici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, Virginia Miller, Elaine Miller, Carolyn Dushku, Barbara Presnell, Eric Peterson, Preston Enright, Ryan Veith, Bill Beaumont, Luciano Orsitti, Mr. and Mrs. Arneson. And I do want to tell you, you know, if someone sent $1 million to the show, I wouldn't appreciate it any more than one gentleman I mentioned on that list. He knows who he is, and there won't be any question about it. He knows, and I won't embarrass him by telling you who it is. But there's a gentleman on that list I just mentioned there that takes the time every month like clockwork, to go to a store and buy a money order and send us $10 toward the show. And he doesn't know, he has no way of knowing exactly what, how much I appreciate that. He has no way of knowing how much I do appreciate that. So just wanted to let him know that it wouldn't make any difference if it was $1 million. The thought and the deed is appreciated so very, very much. What else we got? How about our good friend? Someone called in and said they're a solid Democrat and thinks that the Cheney is gay rhetoric is worse than Rush's lowest moment. What was Rush's lowest moment? I think it was when he said that Hillary Clinton had Vince Foster killed and Hillary and a bunch of others dumped his body out into that park in Washington. I think that was his lowest moment. And Rush has people call all the time and send him email and so forth that he reads over there. And we've done nothing no more than that. So we like to respond to what people send us, and that's just something somebody sent us. Dick, funny I said that. Tom DeLay. How many of you like Tom DeLay? I know there's got to be a lot of Tom DeLay fans out there. I tell you, it warmed my heart this week to see three people linked to Tom DeLay indicted. That's right, indicted. Three men with close ties to U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay were indicted on Tuesday along with eight companies for illegal fundraising activities in a political action committee formed by the powerful Texan Tom DeLay. Mm-hmm. Travis County District Attorney Ronnie Earle told reporters the investigation, not yet finished, had uncovered ominous behavior by the group. What has emerged, he says, is the outline of an effort to use corporate contributions to control representative democracy in Texas. Tell you what, I bet this leads right to Tom DeLay's front door. The House has made every effort to cast this aside and throw a protective barrier up around Tom DeLay, as I expected they would. This snake in the grass, and he is a snake in the grass, Tom DeLay. I hope they find out if it leads to his door. I would certainly like to know that. I most certainly would. I'm going to go to Mike in Naples. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guy.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, can you tell me, when did Rush Limbaugh say that Hillary Clinton had dumped Vince Foster's body in the park?
I'm trying to think exactly what year it was.
It was the year that Vince Foster died, so, I mean, that ought to...
Pardon me?
I say it would be the year that Vince Foster died, so that ought to...
No, actually, it was a little later than that. And I'll tell you what, he had B1 Bob Dornan on his program that day.
Yeah.
And he broke the news with B1 Bob Dornan coming on say they had a news flash.
No, I'm a regular listener, and it didn't happen. I mean,
well, it most certainly did happen, and I think you will find Rush Limbaugh himself. Don't try to call here and say something that happened didn't. It is a fact. It is absolutely a fact, and Limbaugh has admitted it, and Dornan has admitted it, that Bob Dornan was on Rush Limbaugh's show doing an interview, and they broke in, and Limbaugh says, we've got some news here, and he did it like he always does. I don't know if it's true or not. We've got news here that Hillary Clinton had Vince Foster murdered and his body dumped in the park. Don't call this show and try that crap with me. It's been, there are millions of people that know that story. I heard it with my own ears. I heard it. And many people I know heard it. You see, I listen to Rush now and then, too. Not too often, because, especially since I found out that he's a hopeless drug addict. So, hey, let's go to Joe in Punta Gorda. Hi, Joe. Is Joe with us in Punta Gorda? Joe, are you there? How about it? Is Joe with us in Punta Gorda?
Yeah, I'm calling.
Okay, hi, Joe.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I wanted to. You've been a radio host for a while.
Yeah.
And I can't get anybody to talk about this subject seriously. You know, I'm a conspiracy buff and have been ever since I knew emotionally, anyway, that the JFK was not shot by one guy. I mean, I felt that even LBJ was involved in that. I really kind of looked at his face, and I was 18 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always thought that things that happen on a major scale don't happen by some nut who just happens to figure out how to create chaos, especially when billions and billions of dollars are involved. And I don't think anywhere in history has there been a multimillionaire that has done anything as horrific as the WTC disaster for Allah, God, or any other ghost, or for any impoverished people. I heard Osama bin Laden did it because the U.S. is interested in Israel, and Israel is impoverishing the Palestinian people. And so I kind of think that there's more to it. Now, I remember an article that I read back in 72 that the a geologic measure of how much oil is left in the various countries that we were importing oil from, and the only one I remember specifically was Saudi Arabia, because in my ignorance back then, in 72 or 73, that Saudi Arabia was the main supplier for the United States. I don't know if they were or not, but they were measured to have between 50 and 70 years of oil left under the ground. Now, it makes sense to me that if the future of the Saudi family and the Saudi wealth is dependent on their oil and they're losing it, they're running out of it, they're going to be desperate to hang on to their wealth, their position in the world, their prestigious position, their control over all those people. They're going to do everything they can, just like it would be to the advantage of every major, major industrial company that happens to be internationalist, meaning all the oil companies, and 3M and GM, to want to maintain their position, their economic position. And they can't do it if the world is running short of oil, or they are running short of oil, and they have to depend on all these other countries to keep their oil at a low price. They're not going to be able to do it. So they have to find either new sources of oil, or they have to generate new industries, new energy production, like solar or wind or whatever.
And now, so far they've shown no intentions to do that.
Because it's not to their benefit, because they would have to retool every single internal combustion engine in the country. I mean, to do that, to raise wheat for ethanol or corn for ethanol or any of the other chemistries, it means a tremendous, tremendous billion, a multi-billion dollar investment. Mm-hmm. And so, what's easier? If you kick a snowball off the top of a hill, it'll grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you do a study of the side of the hill, you can determine where it's going to go, the bumps along the way, and you don't have to worry about anything after the kick. So, I'm a conspiracy buff. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Osama bin Laden is acting alone. I never thought he was acting alone from day one.
I never have either.
I always thought that the evidence that I've seen on television, at least, is all those manuscripts and the paperwork that they found in a car and at the airport parking lot or something like that. That's part of the evidence. Another part of the evidence is that what I consider a phony explosion at the WTC towers, World Trade Center, in 93. I mean, who in their right mind is going to actually accept the fact that a vague